Hey, and welcome to episode 122 of the Crippled System Podcast. My name is Andy.
My name is Brian. I was holding my breath so I wouldn't talk.
And
my name is Nathan.
This is a bad decision to put the computer next to
me. No, I was just trying to maximize the chat screen so I didn't see us on delay, but the one button I thought would do it didn't do it, so now I'm not going to mess with it anymore.
He's checking for spider solitaire, really.
Yeah, no, spider's okay. The worst solitaire. I'm a free cell man.
I figured you wrong. My name's Brian.
Yeah, and welcome to our first live broadcast in like 3 months.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I got new stuff.
Good.
To make it work better.
Hooray us.
Yeah, the blue light is on.
I wore my podcast shirt for the podcast.
I should get a Road to War shirt. We can just all wear different podcast shirts every time we podcast.
Hey, you know why I wear the shirt? It was free.
That's the best kind of shirt.
Love free shirts.
So many things I wanted to say, but I realize that we're going live right now, and there's no way to edit.
We can edit. We just have to hunt everyone that's on in the chat and murder them.
So far, there's at least one person.
That son of a bitch.
Gornis78.
I know where he lives.
Who is probably 37 years old.
Yeah.
Probably.
Or 36. But even mathematically, he's most likely closer to 37.
Correct.
Because we're more than halfway into the year. I thought of a joke while we were talking about numbers before we started broadcasting, so I'm going to tell my joke.
Oh. So no announcements?
First. Okay. I'm announcing the joke.
No. All right.
Arr.
Oh.
No, this is an old one. Why?
Afraid not.
Why do you never mention 288 in polite conversation?
I don't know why.
Because it's too gross. Come on, it's a good one. You like it, Brian. It is good. All right, now we can go on to announcements.
My new setup for a joke, I saw this in a movie recently, is you say, can I ask you a question? Then you say a statement and you stare them down. That is my new favorite thing in the world.
So that was Pixels? You saw Pixels then?
No, it wasn't Pixels.
Oh, okay.
It was Trainwreck.
My family loved how... was Trainwreck good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
my family used to always make... When we watched American Gladiators when I was younger, we would always make fun of the interviewer because he never asked a single question. All he would do is make a statement and then hold the microphone towards him. And it's just like, that's... Ask something. Not a single time.
Another announcement, season 2 of Rick and Morty starts tonight. So if you see this, or if you're listening to it, you're going to watch season 2.
Yeah.
Also, season 2 of another show on Comic Central that I like a lot that I recommended starts soon. I can't think of the name of it. It's a show where the guy he does things people say to do.
I was going to ask you about that because I had forgotten.
I know. I just saw a commercial that season 2 starts.
It's not
soon.
Trial, but.
I can't think of the name of the show. It's like, yeah, he's like.
Wreck Your Life, Joe.
Yeah, it's a hilarious show. Just watch Comedy Central advertise it. I love the actor, and I love the things they make him do.
If you see someone doing crack on Comedy Central, you've found the right show.
Yes. Well, you know.
Or reruns of the Chappelle
show. Crack was fine. He wasn't addicted at all.
I keep on thinking of Idiot Abroad, but I think that's a
channel. No, that's a different
show. No, Idiot Abroad is a really good show, too. But
same kind of concept. You tell a guy, you know.
Carl Pilkington is a genius in his own way. Did you ever see Travel Sick?
No, I haven't.
I think that was on Comedy Central also, but like back like in the 90s when Comedy Central was first starting, some British guy, and he would go to places, like, you know, whatever, just Berlin or Moscow or New York or Amsterdam, more exotic than New York, but he'd go to like a travel show like you do, and while he was there, he would be every once in a while given a task to do that he didn't know about ahead of time, and he had to do all 5 of them, and if he didn't, like, he had to do a horrible, terrible thing at the end of the episode. And it was all terrible things like that.
Nice. Good times. I'm just telling you, the episode where the guy ate pancakes was the best episode in the world. It's like, how many pancakes can you eat in an hour? Some kind of thing. It was like, how many pancakes can you eat in 10 minutes was like the thing to do. It was like, oh, this would be easy. That episode is just amazing. It's
so,
like the best episode of TV that was on last year.
So it's not even listed on Rotten Tomatoes. You know, they have new TV listed. They have Rick and Morty listed, but they don't have that show. I can't remember that show, though.
I mean, if I Googled, like, Comedy Central shows...
Google on our phones while people watch us live.
Well, as long as other people are talking...
All 4 of us.
No.
Silence the phones out.
I'd be so happy in that kind of situation in life. People always say, well, that's so rude. I'm like, no, I'm happy right now.
Oh, yeah.
People are like, oh, what kind of a family dinner is it? You're all just on your phones. It's like, we're all happy.
We've met each other.
I know my family. I don't want to talk to them.
Yeah, we've reached a point. We're done.
If you can say it on Facebook, then your family will know about it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know,
well, you announce your intentions to everybody else via your phone at the family reunion about the family reunion.
Yeah.
I know at least...
Review.
Yeah.
There we go.
Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty, I did not see the last episode yet.
I've been rewatching.
Oh, really?
I missed it.
I've been rewatching the first season.
Yeah.
I didn't actually watch it. I don't think I saw the last two of first season one.
You should. They're good.
I'm going
to. I broke down and finally subscribed to Hulu Plus.
It's worth it just to watch season one of Rick and Morty again.
I did see an advertisement for all the episodes of Seinfeld, so yeah. I might have to start marathoning those.
All the episodes of Seinfeld. You got Rick and Morty. You got Brooklyn Nine-Nine. You got.
You can roll deep if you want.
Roll deep.
I'm using my Hulu Plus to kind of catch up on things, or not catch up, but just start a baseline. It's like a lot of the like big shows that you hear about. I've never really seen before. So like, I figure since the lady's going to be at Gen Con from Firefly, the little kid lady, I forget. But I figured I'd watch that because I never have before.
You never saw Firefly?
Kid. No, I haven't. I'm halfway through the season, and then I want to watch Farscape and all this other stuff, and I just need to catch up.
I don't, like, some people love Farscape, and I don't know. Like, I've tried to watch Farscape. I don't know if I had to be there at the time to enjoy it or what it is. But I watch it now, I'm like, yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah. It has some peaks and valleys. I think overall it's a good show. I like Farscape overall, but there's definitely, like, it's not as consistently brilliant as some of the best stuff. You know, it's not like season three of Buffy, you know, perfect.
Well, I can watch like Lex, which is another weird sci-fi channel show.
Lex.
At the time with another weird.
They show those back to back. It was Farscape and Lex was their Friday night lineup.
Those shows may not. I mean, like I said, I know they're interesting shows. I just
relax. I actually.
What am I doing?
Because that was on Netflix, and so two years ago, I decided I was going to rewatch Lex, and I watched the first episode is like a 2-hour movie. Like the first season is actually like 4 or 5 2-hour movies, and they are fucking weird. Like, I know the show's weird. I remember the show being weird, but the intro movies are even weirder than the weirdness of the show.
Man, I don't remember Lex at all.
It's weird.
Sexy chick, a robot head. They're flying around a giant dragonfly that blows up planets.
Yeah.
They got a dead guy who's an assassin, but he's got a low battery life, so they keep him frozen most of the time.
Oh my god, I think I do remember it.
Yeah. If you saw some visuals from that show, you'd be like, yeah, I remember that show. I remember her.
Yeah.
I also want to see Sliders again. I just watched it when I was a kid, but
I think when you rewatch it, I forget at what point they changed like directors and some actors and people. I think like the first two seasons are okay, but it gets really weird at some point. And because I rewatched it like, a couple years ago, and I didn't realize when I watched it that there was this huge quality drop. But yeah, it gets pretty bad when you rewatch it. The first couple seasons are still great and fun, but there's like a point where the show just plummets.
I think the only two things I remember from that show from when I was younger was there was one little trailer at the end of their episode where like they jump to another place and they're stuck there and you don't know anything. It's just comedic and fun where they go to a place where everybody's naked. And as a kid, of course, I'd remember that because that's the best thing ever. And then the other one I remember.
Yeah, quality controls the issue with that kind of a planet.
You just take it as it comes. But the other one was a planet where there were no men. Really? I mean, there were men, but they were used as slaves mostly for procreation. And, like, one of the ways they found the men were there was because one of the ladies had her toilet seat up during an inspection. That's the only thing. Those are the only two things I remember from that show.
Snooze.
Yet another reason that I sit down to pee.
That show was interesting because...
Carrie Ward?
Well, the internet was getting more popular at the time. And that show, the first two episodes were filmed out of order, and that was like a big thing. That's when I was getting like internet news and entertainment news, because that was like a big hubbub and had kind of a following on the web and whatnot. And it was, you know, one of the more earlier web followed shows. One of those shows where like, the internet loves it and it says, bring it back, and then it fails, and they don't bring it back because fuck the internet. It's like social media loves, you know, Bernie Sanders, and when he gets, like, I call his supporters the 1%, because when he gets 1% of the vote, even though the internet loves him, like, 100%.
Yeah.
It'll be like, but in reality, he's going to get, like, 1%. But, you know, according to social media. So I like those shows like Sliders or Jericho, all those shows get all this internet support, like, but in reality, no one watches that crap.
Like Firefly.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah,
Constantine. Firefly, Constantine. Yeah, all these... Hannibal as well.
Yep. Although what is worth noting, so like the rating system is kind of screwed up because it all comes from the Nielsen boxes.
Yeah.
And they're so backwards. My ex-wife's family applied to be a Nielsen box home, and they sent them a survey, and the survey asked what kind of shows do you watch, and they checked off the shows they watched, and then they got a response saying the shows you watch aren't mainstream and popular enough, so you can't have a box.
Yeah, so that kind of seems.
So it's like you can't watch things to tell us what's popular because the things you watch aren't popular according to the boxes that we only give to people that watch the things that the boxes say are popular. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like what?
Yeah, and that, and I, my, one of my few regrets in life is I actually got some, like, approved for the process, but I had to, like, send a form back, and I was like, eh.
Effort.
Yeah, I was like, so I could have been part of the system. Although now they don't follow it as much, because they actually can track DVR things, so they actually track other stuff. It's slowly.
Which is why they keep making Sharknadoes.
Yeah. Well, those ratings are finally, that system is finally slowly being pushed out.
You assume that it probably doesn't take that much for them to make a Sharknado, considering the last one was like barely last year.
Yeah.
I think that was in the fall or even winter it came out.
Yeah.
They already had a third one out. I mean, I don't know. It's on Sci-Fi Channel. I expect it to be on Sci-Fi Channel, and it's at the quality that I expect at the Sci-Fi Channel. Yeah. So I'm okay with that.
Well, yeah, but there's Sci-Fi can put out some decent stuff. I mean, Battlestar was pretty well loved. I mean, there's certain
the Saturday movies they do.
Correct.
You know,
That type of, you know, like crazy monster schlock movies. Like the one it's on my DVR right now is Lavalantulas.
Sure. Tarantulas and, made out of lava, I assume.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Starring, I think, most of the cast of the Police Academy.
Do they have Mr. Noisy Face guy?
Michael Winslow?
If you say that's his name.
That's his name.
And Hightower. Need to have Hightower.
Hightower.
Yes, definitely need to
have. One of them's dead.
There's a couple of them that have passed away.
One of the women died, right?
Yes, I believe.
The tall one.
Callahan. The big busted one.
Big, yeah,
that was Callahan, right?
No, yeah, it was Callahan.
I'm thinking of MASH, aren't I?
Yes, you're thinking of MASH.
you're thinking Hotlips?
Hotlips Houlihan.
All right.
Announcements. Yeah. Still announcements. The chat is concerned about announcements.
It is upon us.
August 22nd is the fourth six-pack event, which will be a 50.2 list normal standard steamroller event. We're averaging close to 30 people at events, so we'll probably get another 30 people for that event. Plenty of free shenanigans. After the fourth event, I'm going to pull something online probably the week after Gen Con, because Gen Con is this week and it's going to distract me, but I'm getting shirt sizes from people who want to get shirts. If you attend four, then you get a free shirt. I'm going to put a thing out there for the people who want to order shirts that can, you know, pay for them. It'll be $23 a shirt if you just want a six-pack shirt, even if you can't attend only one or two of them.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to order the trophies for the overall probably next month as well.
There's also a 2.50 list steamroller, or I mean just steamroller, in...
2.50 lists?
What am I talking about?
That would be amazing!
I've only had...
2.50 list steamroller.
I've only had one beer and I'm already stupid.
That's a lot of paper.
Yeah. So it's a two list...
There's not enough casters for that.
I'm done with that. Well, you could there's something going on in Waukesha.
Yeah, Waukesha.
It's at Waukesha.
By the way, that was my thing and I was getting there, you son of a bitch.
I thought it was like... Because it's chronological. Like, you've got Gen Con, then Waukesha.
I know,
then
but I was going out of order on purpose.
We went right over Gen Con. Announcement, I'm fucking going to be there, bitches.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there. You didn't pause for Nathan. Suddenly, now you're a bad announcer.
I learned to do that. Don't give him
never pause for me. Don't give me an inch.
He'll bully his way in, don't worry.
That is definitely true. I am obnoxious that way. Buddy had an extra pass, so ka-ching.
You'll be there Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday?
Yeah, I work Friday morning. I'm scheduled till 5, but I'm sure I can duck out early, so I'll leave and I'll drive down after that.
I'm going to lunch, guys. See you Thursday.
No, my relief comes in at 1, and so when they get there, I'm just going to be like, yeah, I'm, like, basically in charge. I'm leaving. And so I'm leaving.
I just read the tagline for Lavalantula, which is, fire burns, lava bites.
I approve of it.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible. Yeah, it's got a 6.5.
So I'll be there Friday night, and you guys will be there the whole damn time, but I'll be there just for the weekend portion.
Hopefully by 1:30 Wednesday.
I will be there possibly earlier than you.
I don't know. We're leaving about 6:15 in the morning.
It's about 6 for me as well.
I will be there at the ass crack of dawn on Thursday.
It's a 7-hour drive.
Well, you lose an hour because of time zones.
So it's a 6-hour drive?
But a 6-hour drive and you lose an hour.
Yeah, I was going to ride with Brian.
For people who are going there, I have co-workers who went to Indianapolis last month, and a lot of times when you leave Madison, you go south. There's two ways through. There's right through Chicago down there, or south, you avoid Chicago, you go down, and you turn...
Sure. It's like a triangle.
By Champaign, Illinois.
Bloomington is where you drive to.
And normally. I was told by people who normally skip Chicago that down by Bloomington there is massive, massive road construction in there. That route took them hours extra. So if you were going to Gen Con and you were going through Bloomington on your way towards...
You might as well go through Chicago. East,
be aware that as of late last month, there was awful, awful construction. We're actually going through Chicago. Katie is crazy and she drives, so she goes to Chicago anyway. But we typically go over. It usually takes you 15 extra minutes to go around, but you just don't have the headache of Chicago-ness happening.
Right.
But I would strongly be cautious if you're going through the Bloomington route to it because it's.
Could I drive to Milwaukee and rent a speedboat and just go down through the middle of Michigan?
You could try that. Why not?
There's supposedly going to be a new high speed rail. Eventually, in the next few years, put in from Chicago to Columbus, Ohio.
I'm sure Scott Walker will cancel that one too.
Yeah.
He'll find a way to cancel all.
But if that exists, it's probably going to go right through Indianapolis as well. Yeah, so that may be something to think about doing too.
It'd be pretty amazing. Oh, I know Katie's not here, but I have a story people appreciate for Katie because all of our Katie. Here's a Katie update. Yesterday, Jeremy and Andy both helped me run the event. Katie, which her plan was to go down to visit some friends to go to a. Bridal shower thing with her family.
Baby shower, I think.
Baby shower, bridal shower. I don't know. Some kind of thing with women.
A shower.
Ooh. She's showering with women. There we go. She's going down there.
The whole loving life. Your story.
She gets about in 45 minutes, an hour into Illinois. She gets pulled over by a cop. She was speeding. Realizes that she doesn't have her license expired in February. So the cop is like, well, you can't drive anywhere. She was stuck at a truck stop for two or three hours till her family got there to pick her up.
Well, why did the cop wait with her?
No.
So the cop, she goes, oh, okay, my family will come get me. And then when the cop leaves, you just drive away.
Yeah, and we thought that was what happened. I mean, we just figured because the cops might wait. So you wait like 20 minutes and you go away. They took her car.
They told it?
And she had a dog. She basically left her
that doesn't at seem
a
legal.
Truck stop. She said the cops they just left her at a truck stop. Said you could wait here for a couple hours. She's like, well, I have my dogs. I can't go in and get like water or food or anything for them. He's like, you can go in. I give you permission. I can't tell the owner that this random cop just said I can take my animals through your store. And I'm at a truck stop. There's a lot of crazy fucking trucker people looking yeah. here.
Wow.
And we didn't know this until like last night. So we just Jeremy just thought she was like in her car waiting because she was too afraid to drive because you. Have to get her, but yeah, she was basically three to 4 hours just sitting out on a picnic bench at a truck stop because the cops towed her car away.
Because she had
an expired license. The problem was she had a Wisconsin ID in Illinois. Got pulled over. Of course they're gonna fuck.
Oh yeah, of course.
That's true
because she probably had to pay to get her car back. Oh, welcome yeah. to Illinois,
it
fucker.
Was a ton of money. Yeah.
God, I fucking hate that state. Yeah. Worst state.
I mean, yeah, because they can't leave it on the highway. They can't just leave the car highway, they have to tow it. They would have to tow it because she can't legally drive it, and who knows what kind of words were exchanged. Maybe
she said she was very, very polite because she doesn't intimidate much, but I think like police officers, she tries
sure.
like, your friendly girl approach. But her mom called and yelled at the police so much they actually came back just to make sure she was okay like an hour later. Because her mom had to drive up and get her and stuff. So when the cops came back like an hour later saying, we're just checking to make sure you're okay because, you know, your mom calls and yells us. Which, I mean, and we had heard the story during the day that Katie was stuck down there. We thought it was kind of funny because she's stuck in her car or whatever. But, yeah, we didn't realize she was stuck at a bench for 4 hours.
Yeah, stole her car.
Good. And, you know, good on the police, I guess. They got a terrible person who was driving with a suspended license and took their car. In Illinois, where God knows,
and did they do the thing where they arrested the car and then they tried the car and found it guilty, and so they get to keep it?
Yeah, I don't. That didn't happen.
They do that now? Like they'll arrest a house. I know you watched John Oliver. He was talking about that a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, where they can basically take control of people.
Somebody just side note. Somebody in the chat asked what beer we were drinking, and so I'll plug this. This is two women from New Glarus Brewing Company. We are all huge fans of Spotted Cow. For those of you who don't live in Wisconsin, New Glarus is the best brewery, and they make amazing flavors, but you can only get them in Wisconsin because they always sell out. In fact, there was a bar in Minnesota that got shut down or ticketed or whatever because they smuggled in a keg of Spotted Cow across the border.
Yeah,
and that ain't legal. Yeah,
was taken away.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not legal to sell outside Wisconsin.
If you see Andy or I at Adepticon or War Machine Weekend, there is a 99% chance that we will give you one of these. On the second day, it drops to like a 25% chance, and by day three, they're already gone. But we like to bring Spotted Cow and two women to conventions.
I bring a lot of Melial Zero with me to conventions.
That's also mine. Good.
I won't share it though.
Well, one of the things I was bringing to Gen Con with me is a case of the sampler pack that they have. I figured mm-hmm. it'd be something to it would be my contribution as my peace offering for booze exchange.
I'll bring some pamphlets about a prohibition, bringing it back.
Sure,
that'll just make my hole in the wall speakeasy more popular.
There you go.
The less popular Justin Timberlake song. I'm bringing Prohibition back.
You know.
Yeah. Generally, I like two women. Yeah. And the beer, and but otherwise,
Spotted Cow is what it is
for me. I mean, it's
Spotted Cow is your standard American Pilsner. It's like a Miller Lite or a Budweiser or whatever. Well, it's the standard. I'm not talking about quality. I'm talking about the family it's in. You know, if you take that style of beer, just your normal mainstream American Pilsner beer, and make it the best of those, that's where Spotted Cow is. It's a really good version of that. Tumen is very different. It's malty. It doesn't have very much hops, so it's mm-hmm. more like an ale. It's like not like Guinness. It doesn't have
a malt.
Yeah. Because well, that's what it is. It's just shit crock full of malt. It doesn't have like that bitter coffee taste that Guinness has. I don't know what else tastes like Two Women. Is there something mainstreamy that tastes like Two Women?
No, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. The only thing that one of the things that's good to note about it is like. It doesn't have a funky aftertaste. Correct. It has like a refreshing aftertaste. It like does. The aftertaste in your mouth is like, yeah, I like that. It's a good time. But like I drink, you know, when I'm wanting to get shit faced, which is almost every night. You know, I'm a Miller Genuine Draft person, and that's just what I do because I can suck them down like nothing.
When I want to get wasted, I just go to the bottle NyQuil.
Yeah.
Until your teeth are green.
I love that they came up with Z-Quil just to, you know, get past the pretending you have a cold thing. They're like, this is just the narcotics. Have fun.
This is what you put in your pimp cup.
There you go.
I don't know if you're familiar that Z-Quil exists.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So it's just an alcoholic drink?
Yeah, well, they say it's for sleep. To help you sleep.
Oh, no, I thought it was actually something that you would find in the liquor aisle that would look like the bottle, but it would just be like a larger version of it.
I don't know what color it is.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that?
They took the cold medicine out of NyQuil but left all of the horse tranquilizers and just called it Z-Quil.
Can you imagine that having like a giant, you know, giant bottle filled with it with its own little shot glass on the top?
I want a keg of Z-Quil.
I can't chug NyQuil if I have to do something productive the next day.
No.
It's like I think NyQuil. I'm like the next day is gone.
Well, I think Andy was referencing it, but Dennis Leary has his NyQuil bit, and he says it on the bottle. It says may cause drowsiness, and he says it should say don't make any fucking plans.
Yeah, yeah,
because you're done. You're gonna wake up on the floor of your kitchen a week later.
High as a kite. My teeth are green. Merry fucking Christmas.
Yep.
I really wish I could experience that with NyQuil, but I just have this whenever I drink it, it does the opposite for me. It just keeps me wired.
You get like,
oh, really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I get energized off of it. I don't get put out by any medication.
What does cocaine do to you?
I don't know. I would like to
maybe
try it.
Maybe you are reverse. But
even though I do have a massive hole in the middle of my nose, it is not because...
If you try to snort cocaine, would it just shoot out the sides of your nostrils?
No, I don't think so. It's more like when I breathe out.
That'd be amazing.
It's like when it gets to be winter, I get sick so often.
Quick question, because you got that there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you blow your nose, does shit come out there?
That does happen if I'm not careful about putting the Kleenex over my the holes on my nostrils. It will shoot the other,
just everywhere.
Other directions. Yeah, I've had that happen before. Yeah.
Oh, yikes. Hey, at least it's a better topic than what previous.
Well,
we've moved from
you
my...
You can transport that physics experiment to other appendages.
If you put holes in something, that liquid comes out.
Moving on.
More announcements.
We're done with announcements.
Are we done with announcements?
Well, you didn't actually say what we're doing at Gen Con.
Everything. I thought we were going to have like a mini Gen Con topic, like a little actually talk about Gen Con. Well, we can do that now, I guess.
It's a good segue, right?
We're segue professionals.
Gen Con.
What's for dinner?
In depth.
I'm there.
We're all going to be there.
So yeah. my plans are is I'm going to be there doing some interviews with folks. I'm also doing, I think, almost every single day of Undercity, the intro for
someday
the
day you're going to learn.
Hey, you know, if I didn't make a mistake at the last event where I accidentally spent more points than I actually had because I forgot that I put in an order, then yeah, I wouldn't be doing as many shifts at
JetCon. I kind of did the same thing.
Yeah. I completely forgot. It was just a random order. And
well,
yeah.
I came home and I ordered like, you know, like I would have like 3 points left over, and I forgot that I had bought stuff at Adepticon. Just a couple of the, I don't even know where they are. I think I lost them, but I just, for the fuck of it, I bought all the exclusive models. It'd be cool to have all of them.
Like, yep.
Because previously I'd only bought the ones for the factions I had.
Yep.
But I just bought all of them, and now they're somewhere in a closet. I don't know.
I get them all, but I always end up giving them away.
Yeah.
I do want the exclusive model this year.
The Croc.
The Witch Doc Croc looks
the Witch
really,
Doc Raver.
The beer actually looks pretty decent, too. I don't know if you saw the cans of beer.
I didn't see the beer, no.
Yeah, they actually have like cans of beer at the rave or at the rave.
The Ram.
At the Ram that you could buy.
Yeah, haven't they always done that though? Like the beer is always inspired by the model.
Haven't had it canned. They've on tap.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's usually always on tap, and they have an untapping party, I think, on Thursday night or Wednesday night at the Ram
it's
for
Wednesday
it.
Night, I'm so fucked.
Well, you just have to get off tell Amanda to drive on down herself.
People are at the Ram 24/7 going out of control.
Untapping event, it is extremely packed. It is you can't get it. It's standing room only.
It's pretty awful.
It's pretty horrible. But generally they would have the Stein that you can get there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have like the Bodger Brew Stein.
Hey, get the shirt.
Yeah, or something like that. But they've never actually had it canned. And this year it looks like they have some cans.
I'll probably
for
take
it.
Some home with me if it's decent.
Yeah,
even
I mean,
if
at least
not decent. I'll take it home with me.
At least drink it and then keep, or drink part of it and then dump the rest out and then keep the can.
Yeah,
cool looking can.
Or keep it sealed, and 20 years later, people drink it like Crystal Pepsi.
Exactly. You can see.
You
all
could
those.
Seal it or cut off the top of it and then actually use it as a glass.
Or you could
have those can cutters.
Cut out the image and frame it. I don't know.
That's true.
So yeah, so you're doing a lot of Undercity. I will be walking the hall a little bit and camping out at Embassy Suites most of the time playing board games. That's pretty much that's my headquarters is Embassy Suites second floor lobby area where they have a whole floor dedicated to just like tables.
I have zero plans.
Well, one of your days
I'm just gonna wander around. Yeah.
If you see Brian, give him a wheelchair.
People don't have to ninja shop for me anymore because I'm gonna be there.
That's true. Saves me time.
You can still ninja shop for me. Just like deliver it to me 5 minutes later. And I'm like, thanks, man.
That's complicated.
Yeah, I think for me, I've signed up for, I purchased tickets for the Iron Arenas because I'm a sucker for artwork.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to camp out for at least one of the Masters tournaments. I know they're full, but I'm hoping someone gets too drunk and hungover to show up. So I'm going to try and get into to qualify for Masters, even though I won't happen. But I want to experience that level of competitive play.
You'll get in. Honestly, they always say that they sold out for them, but if you show up, you'll get in.
Okay.
If you get the
generic tickets,
yeah. Generally you'll get in for those.
Speaking of selling out, I need to get around to buying my War Machine weekend pass.
Yeah.
Talk to us later.
Yeah,
I thought
I want to be in the last chance qualifier.
I'm going to sell out and support. You know,
well, because I think I'm going to play in the last chance qualifier with my pigs again.
Uh-huh. Two Towers is back.
Two Towers
or Twin?
Two Caster 75 point list.
I think they're. I was talking to Jamie, and it sounded like they changed it down to 50 points.
Fuck you! That's not nearly enough Vanguards. I would have five fewer Vanguards at that point.
If it's not 75 points, that's the whole fun part of it.
Because I think they want to have it so it's actually manageable for the time period that they want it in.
I mean, the gimmick still works, but the gimmick with, you know, 9 Vanguards is less entertaining than 14 Vanguards.
I can't fit 4 Mountain Kings into 50 points.
I can't fit 15 Vanguards.
Yeah.
14 Vanguards.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, so Gen Con, I'm not really, like, I'm not a center for any events, War Machine or non. I do want to see. Like I always really enjoy going down the author role, and I spend a good afternoon in the artist section. Like I always want to get artwork, and I'm to the point now where I can afford some shit. But I just need like wander and just see something that calls out to me.
Do we know any of the celebrities who are going to be there and having autograph lines?
There are anybody? Some pretty cool ones, but I couldn't tell you at this moment any of them.
All right.
But I do know there are some neat ones going to be there, but I'm just not in my, it's not in my head right now.
Last time you went, you got some awesome autographs.
I want
to Gen Con.
He wasn't even there.
I got when you got Felicia Day's autograph for it.
I got Felicia Day and Will Wheaton to sign my Scorn book. Yeah.
Well, we got you the Doctor Who one.
Yep, you got me.
We got Katie, which we got. That was the greatest thing.
The fifth Doctor.
Yeah.
I want the Scorn book?
No, or, no. That's a photo because that wasn't the year I got to go there. That was last year or 2 years ago now. How long have we been doing this goddamn podcast? Last year?
Too long.
That you guys got Peter Davidson to sign a picture.
I also want to say what the featured artist, and I'm going to butcher his name because I've looked at it at the bottom of Magic Cards for so long, is D. Tresley. Okay. Yeah, he's one of the Magic artists. D-I, a big T, and the rest of his name. He's going to be signing. He's going to be there as their featured artist. I know that much. But I, too, will be scouring the artist section. I have a really like sweet ledge on one of my in my apartment before my vaulted ceiling comes up. And I'm looking for like a really massive sculpture to put there. I don't know if I'll find one, but if I
it's
do,
it's always interesting to walk the artist hall because you have some artists who are, especially if you go when you go like by Saturday, Sunday to the hall if you don't get there right away, because some of them are having a good time and interacting. Some of them aren't having as much luck, and they just look a little less happy to be there. And it's always a very interesting like contrast.
Like you can find like all the stages of depression.
Yeah,
in that area,
and even some of them that don't even that aren't getting populated, they still have cool stuff. It's just an interesting, or some push more than others push, and it's just an interesting. They all, you know, I don't know. I usually am taking all their cards, and I always check out their websites, and it's, you know, it's.
I got
it's some
good
shit.
I got
also trying to find the authors and see if I know any of the authors there because I love. I actually need Twitter. I need to send a tweet to Troy Denny because. He was there last
you keep
year.
On going away from the mic off to the side.
No, I'm trying to like be, you know,
just center yourself, find your center, and then put the
He's
mic.
He's dodging the microphone. It's aggressive.
Well, I was looking at while we were talking. I was trying to find the guests. I'm looking at my phone, looking at people who are going to be there. It's complicated.
Also, speaking of painting, I was thinking I might have time to do some finishing touches on something, but I am going to try and enter something into Privateer Press's painting competition. I want to do something, but I just don't. I was going to try and do my extreme mug because he's pretty legit looking, but his rocks are so screwed from transport. I was going to try and like do some blending on them instead of the dry brush crap, but...
Summer Glow.
I don't have time.
The subtitle on our Twitch stream still says playing Minecraft, and people are pointing in that they're disappointed because they tuned in for Minecraft.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Gotcha, suckers.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, oops indeed. That's professional podcastism, baby.
You can edit that.
Oh, can I?
Yep.
All right. I'm going in.
One of the other cool things about Gen Con 2 while we're at it is they're doing the Kings of Tokyo and Kings of New York tournaments, little mini tournaments, like every hour or so. So those will be cool. And they're giving away it's an exclusive card or something like that for Monster for the winners of the tournament, so you got plenty of them.
What they like to do in the past at cons is for King of New York and King of Tokyo, they literally, the artists have, like, written on cards, like, special effects. Like, this card has a special, because the artist, like, writes on the rules. What's so cool, what I imagine will be, we've taken off, every year I go, there's more, like, large-scale board games. They just, in the gaming area, they just, like, maximize
them. Yeah, the giant stuff.
Yeah, it's like, the monsters are the size of small children.
Speaking of King of Tokyo, and you might have talked about this in the last 45 seconds when I was ruining everything, but you showed me a picture yesterday of the new King of Tokyo monster.
I did.
Oh, you did. I didn't recognize it. I didn't realize that it was the Dracus, that it was the dragons from The Name of the Wind.
Oh.
It's a tie-in. So that's now I'm excited about it.
One of the things I am having a hard time finding is the seeing if there's like a list out there of like the exclusives for Gen Con or see the pre-releases. I know that Smash Up's doing their thing, which I'll love to hate it. But I don't know anything else that's happening Privateer Press wise or anyone else.
I realize Terry Brooks is the author of because last year was Jim Butcher's. Here's Terry Brooks.
Oh,
I've actually traveled kind of far.
He did the sort of Shannon.
Yeah, there's actually a show coming out for Star. One of the networks has a show coming out for the second Shannara books.
I saw those Lord of the Ring movies, and they were just blatant ripoffs of the Sword of Shannara.
The first Shannara book is obnoxious, because the first Shannara book is like your typical gotta go fight the bad guy, kill him. It's like your most boring, typical Lord of the Rings style adventure. But the rest of the Shannara books are amazing. It's like, just odd.
I make fun of the first one. I only read the first one, and I did make fun of it as being a Lord of the Rings ripoff, because it is no, Gandalf the first, and the dwarves and everything.
It is, but 100%. To be fair,
I read that book when I was in, you know, junior high, early high school, and it was on a family road trip, and I read the thing, the whole, just in the road trip, I read it in the car, and as night fell, I was, you know, it was pre-cell phone or whatever, so I opened the glove box, and I had the book in the glove box with my head down by the edge of the glove box so that the little tiny light in the glove box would light the book, because I was so, you know, into the story. I couldn't wait until daytime to read the last, like, 10 chapters.
Yeah. Sure.
So, you know, I make fun, but I sure wasn't.
Yeah, no, it's in. It's so many. There's so many. There's like, you could find 1,000 novels that are so much like the first Shannara book, but then it gets very creative. Like the whole TV show is based off the second book, which is just phenomenal, which I'm very excited for. Elfstones is an amazing book. Yeah, I was living in Phoenix. We drove to San Diego mostly just to go see him, and then we just drove around San Diego for a day. I went to SeaWorld before. It was still cool. Now I can't go to SeaWorld anymore.
You're talking about Shannara. That's
Shannara.
Yeah, and then I immediately just think Shannara. Yeah.
So here's a side thing with Gen Con. I mean, talk about that. Are there... excuse me. So there's a topic in the chat, which is what we think about the Gator. I mean, we kind of said it's awesome. Do we have any deep
thought? Yeah.
I like that it's not too cheesecakey. I mean, it's an attractive woman, but her tits aren't hanging out and everything.
Yeah, it's not too overly sexualized, which is what I liked about the model a lot when I first saw it.
Well, also, it's kind of cosplay, which is a big thing nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. There's a
category for Gen Con. There's a cosplay guest of honor. Yeah. I mean, cosplay's got the point where now they have guest of honors at Gen Con.
Speaking of cosplay, how do you find it that Apocalypse in the new X-Men film, cosplay version...
Victor Von Ooze?
Yes. The cosplay version of Apocalypse that I've seen before looks better than the movie version.
He looks like the purple dude from X-Men. I'm not going to call him Apocalypse because it's just not real. He looks like the worm from Freaked. the guy who loves what is it? Macaroons. He'll just like
all seven people who've seen that movie besides us. Like, I get it. God, I love that movie.
Freaked. I have that on DVD.
Yeah,
probably VHS.
No one ever.
I think it's having a VHS or burn it to a DVD. I think it's way sold on DVD.
Yeah, I do have a collector's edition DVD of Freaked.
Oh. What percentage of people who have seen Freaked just saw it at 3 a.m. on Comedy Central? You know, on like a Thursday night when nothing else is playing.
I see half of Bill and Ted here. Will the other one?
And like Randy Quaid was the, if I'm not mistaken, he was the guy. Yeah,
yeah. All who oppose me shall stand knee deep in the blood of their children. Yeah, is
Randy Quaid and Alex Winter. Like, it's just like you're really getting the cream of the crop here.
Yeah. Oh, what was that quote? You'd look better. You know, you'd be better without balls. Or was that the one where he tries to get the guy to turn into a girl? You
sure.
Look better in a dress.
I'm not helping you.
Whatever. I'm over it. It was an amazing movie and a great reference.
But assuming they're there, what are, like, if you weren't going and someone was ninja shopping for you, what are the products you're excited to get?
I was looking through, and I did this last year. I've been a Board Game Geek, like, lists all the things coming out that are coming out this year at Gen Con. And some companies, like Fantasy Flight Games, don't really. You know, Fantasy Flight's history is if it's coming out in the fourth quarter, it's going to be at Gen Con. So anything they see in there, they don't officially announce that.
You just know it to be
but
true.
But I really want a copy of Fury of Dracula 3rd edition. Third one's coming out.
Yeah.
Mostly because I can play without Andy. He'd be like, what the fuck you guys?
I'm going to fucking kill you if you get it.
I can't wait for the first Facebook post I make of that. He's not there.
Does Andy even have Fury of Dracula?
He's got the second edition one.
I thought that one was Nick's.
No, it's Andy's. It's really good.
Had it.
Yeah, no, it's Catbug.
Catbug the dice.
Andy's Catbug dice. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Oddly enough, after looking through like dozens of things coming out at Gen Con, I'm most excited for everything Gale Force 9 is coming out with. Of all the things, Gale Force 9's board game collection has me enthralled. There are multiple expansions for Firefly the board game. There's two new ships, a player mat, and a new board expansion. There is expansions for Spartacus, expansions for Sons of Anarchy. There's a WWE wrestling game that's coming out by Gale Force 9 that I've even read how it's played online. Ridiculous.
Yeah,
I'm most excited for Gale Force 9 stuff. It's an unusual thing to say.
I think my excitement comes from hoping that Privateer Press has something a little like different from what Lock and Load was holding. I don't know what they're...
They will. You're probably going to see Ezol.
I was thinking like, yeah...
probably going to be the big caster spoiler.
Denny 3 would be really nice to have.
Yeah.
She possibly might be there. I mean,
I think it could have one or two probably. Of the Colossals.
She's got to be soon to come out anyway. Well, the Colossals might not be as much, because the thing that's with the Colossals... Well...
The Gargantuans, have a better chance of coming out quicker than the Colossus. Good to Colossus. The only Colossus that we saw actually built, I think, was the Sepulchre.
Well, the Sepulchre was built up, and then, other than that, it was Gargantuans, like the Mountain King, or not the Mountain King, Glacier King.
Anything that's had a picture on their website or you've seen the physical model is likely to be there, because they're probably, you know, made and available and everything.
Yeah, painted up and ready for display. Yeah. So Denny 3 is like my big excitement from them. And then the other one that I'm looking at is I've fallen out of like the whole port from Cool Mini or Not to Ninja Division that they did for Super Dungeon Explorer.
Yeah.
And I really fell out of it on the Kickstarter. So now I'm really interested to see where they've taken it and see if there's like, I know there's new cool stuff coming out for them, but it might be, Gen Con might be enough to get me back into wanting to play Super Dungeon Explorer.
Speaking of games like that, I supported Flying Frogs, Shadows of Brimstone, which we've talked about a lot. We play a lot. Some of us play more than others, but Gen Con is actually going to have some stuff. Like the Kickstarter stuff, they're going to be sending out a bunch of stuff in October, but they have a very small part of it being sold at Gen Con. So some people are going to get some of the shit before me, which I really don't care about. But if you like Shadows of Brimstone and you didn't do the Kickstarter, Gen Con is going to have some of the new Outer Realm stuff and new characters and all those sorts of new stuff. So Flying Frog booth is going to be loaded with a small supply of that, which is pretty awesome. I've already prepaid for it, so I'm just going to wait another month and a half before I get my version, but whatever.
Yeah, I think another company did something like that at Gen Con last year, where they decided to shortchange their Kickstarter backers and sell at Gen Con instead, because they figured it would be a bigger boost.
Well, some of them, and honestly, you would need, it's a combination where they got the money from the Kickstarters, and people that, if the Kickstarter is really successful, it can take, a lot of times, it takes people like 2 months of sending out like 1,000 orders a week to get to all the Kickstarters, but man, if they can get a big jump at something like Gen Con, that can really sustain them for so long. So
exactly,
so the users have to, like, the people who support it just have to
get Andy that. Is a child.
I am a child.
What do you do?
I will say this, if there's people out there that can get me Catbug dice, I want to get two, so I'm going to have to buy two things from them.
Are you going
to
get a Catbug tattoo?
On your nose.
It probably hadn't even occurred to you until I said that, had it? And now it's a yes. You went from yes. I hadn't thought about it into a yes.
There are two tattoos I want to get.
A coworker of mine was just yelling at me. She said that I need to find people to get tattoos because she has a tattoo buddy who will do discounts if you have groups. He does group rates.
And he does them in their basement for beer, right?
No, he has a shop. And actually,
all with the same needle.
She's halfway through getting a tattoo on her shoulder blade. She stopped halfway through because she was, like, you know, in a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. Which the shoulder blade is so close to bone. And I've heard that that's what makes tattoos hurt more is if there's not a lot of tissue.
Bone and nerves. And if you're tattooing with an electronic toothbrush or
what
razor.
What he had done looks really good, actually.
Yeah. No.
What would you know about tattoos, Brian?
I know nothing. I do know, though, that the most painful place to get a tattoo is your butt.
Really? I thought
it was the ribs.
It's so fatty.
That's what I always hear on all the tattoo shows I watch.
They can stuff it because they just don't tattoo enough butts. But the thing is since your spinal cord ends right around there, that's where all of the nerves, so every nerve in your lower extremity of your body is right there. I've seen men who are tattooed from head to toe just tap out halfway through one butt cheek.
So two tattoos I want to get. I put up one finger, but I meant two fingers.
I'll give you one finger.
one I want the War Boy tattoo, with the skull with the circle and the frames around it. Basically, Michael Plummer and a bunch of the Texas guys. I think Pagani and Chili Winters got it. That's
pretty good work.
I'd want that, and I guess a tattoo of Catbug. I think that would be the other one. I don't think I would ever regret having a Catbug on me.
I don't regret any of my tattoos, really.
That's good.
Yeah,
they're permanent. So.
No, but I'm not going to tattoo no. I might tattoo no regrets somewhere.
Regrets or ragrets? Ragrets with all A's.
Independence.
But see that Catbug dice that's on there. I want some I will probably pay you for some if you get some.
Here's a question. Is that the only picture you've seen of him? Because the chat has raised a valid question that you cannot tell from that picture. Is Catbug the one or the six? Are you happy to see Catbug, or does he show up and mock you?
I don't know.
And if it's on the one, then I need to like use him to play Axis and Allies so that I'm happy when I see him.
Yeah.
You know?
Leadership.
He's got to be a six. He's got to be.
It's not about...
It's hard to tell. Usually everything adds up on there. So if you look on the side of the two there, so there's probably so the five on the other side.
That's the problem with one and six is they're opposite from each other, so you can't tell from seeing one angle of the picture.
What company is giving those away?
AEG.
Oh, AEG. So you mean smash up of disappointment? I will probably get one of those.
I'm so confused by your...
not AEG. It's
Or is it like We Love Fine or something?
No, it is We Love Fine. They do make stuff for them.
Okay.
It's Catalyst Games, Game Labs.
Well, whatever they make, I'll probably stop by and try and at least...
But you have to... I think you just have to...
Give them a hand job? I don't know.
Yeah, that works. I purchased a deck. Either just play the Wonderfully Fun and Fast Encounters Bravest Warriors, or purchase a deck, and you'll be entered into a drawing for that, and I think you get a dice, too.
I have that Bravest Warriors game. It was probably the worst 5 minutes of my entire life, really? But I will suffer through another game to get you a Catbug dice.
Well, I wouldn't mind playing it. I wouldn't mind seeing it.
I just committed the cardinal sin. Thank you. I'm glad you fixed that without me having to explain why. Yeah. I committed the cardinal sin of pounding on the table because I was so enraged because you said...
I'm sorry, die.
What? He said he would get you a dice, and I'm not standing for that shit.
I have gone through so many goddamn awful demos at Gen Con to get someone something.
I still love the demo of Order of the Stick where I made the guy running the demos just have a nervous breakdown. Like, he was in...
Was he the designer of the game, too?
No.
That would have been great.
But that fucking game. Like, you know how Munchkin should be 10 minutes long and it can take 3 hours? We did that to this game. You've heard this story. I know I've heard this story.
But it's worth repeating because it is a Nathan story.
It's not that good.
I don't remember it. I don't remember details.
Because he blocked it out. He's like, man, it keeps going on and on and on.
That's what the demo guy was like.
Yeah.
No. You played Darkest Dungeon. Right.
No.
Not Darkest Dungeon. I'm sorry. Cutthroat Cravens. Cutthroat Caverns.
No, I did not. That was not part of that group.
Oh, you never played.
Thank God.
The premise of the Order of Stick is that you go down a dungeon like 3-4 levels. You kill a monster. You get a treasure. You go back up the 3-4 levels. You leave. And whatever single player has the most loot wins. So it's like
Dungeon Quest.
It's a team game.
Okay.
You're friends until you get there and out, supposedly. Except you're allowed to attack each other and steal each other's stuff, but there's no player elimination. So it's just slap, steal, slap, steal, slap, steal. And so we never left the first floor of the 4-floor dungeon. We were there for 3 goddamn hours just slapping each other. And it's just like, mine, no mine, no mine, no mine for 3 goddamn hours. And the guy was so sad. But it's the game's fault.
Well...
Especially since my character got a bonus for attacking other players.
If you Cutthroat Caverns, you'll lose.
You'll die. Yeah. You'll fucking die if you do that in Cutthroat Caverns. That's the thing.
Sure.
You can make a game like this and have it be good. The Order of the Stick game is not good because there was no built-in clock. And that's the thing. A hard rule I have with board games is that there has to be a built-in clock. The game cannot go infinitely long.
Sure.
With play, you know, you can't have that. If you can just tread water for 17 days because you don't have to go forward, I will not play that fucking game. You know, that's why I won't play. I used to love, fish fanciers and attack each other and everything. Illuminati, the Steve Jackson card game. Illuminati.
Correct.
Game if it takes an hour. It's not a fun game when it takes 4 hours, and nothing in Illuminati stops it from taking 4 hours.
Well, nothing in the game itself. It's common sense of the players.
Correct.
Basically, if you have somebody who's the assassins and they're just doing everything to fuck everyone over so no one can actually hit their win condition.
Yeah.
That's what I've always liked playing Illuminati with hidden win conditions. Like, we actually draw out of all of them. So you might have the gnomes or the dwarves, wherever they are, and the condition is to get, like...
So you're basically all the UFO?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that way is the best way to do the game, because then you don't know what other people's win conditions are.
And it wouldn't be so bad if all the win conditions automatically were getting built towards. You know what I mean? Like, there's a null sum thing where it's like there's always progress. Even if you're wimping forward, every turn somebody is getting X percentage towards their goal. You know, and so worst case scenario, you know, like Love Letter, you can win 4-0-0, or it can be 4-3-3-3, you know. And so, yeah, that game took almost four times as long, but you were getting there, you know. But Illuminati, you can just stalemate, and you can just sit there for fucking ever, and nothing happens.
Jim broke that game for us. Yeah. Because he had the assassins, and, and one time he just, that's all he did. He was like, ah, you get your head? Ah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Your branch is gone. Fuck you, your branch is gone. But at
least don't the assassins win if they do that like 10 times or something?
He did it in such a way that no.
Like they didn't even count towards his own victory condition?
He did it in a way that didn't help him.
he just
did it because it was fucking funny. He could have done it in a way to win.
Yes.
He just chose not to.
Right.
Yes.
And that's...
No, I think you have to use your assassin power to do it. He was just taking parts of his thing to attack other parts.
Yeah,
I've seen it. Yeah, exactly. He just did it in a wonky way that did not let him win.
And that's just it. Like games where that that's just a hard rule to me. Mm-hmm. Like I can't have games that are like that. It needs to have a clock.
Yep, I agree.
It's like War Machine without a death clock.
Yeah, War Machine with no clock at all. Just War Machine. Like when you play those 4 hours. Nobody wins a 4 hour game of War Machine.
I am going to be running 15 hour timed turn event. After the six pack,
I won't remember how to later. Do that.
I can't wait. I'm keeping that event off the air because I don't want to go over details of it.
You just want to yell.
Will be a time. Oh, I wanted to shout Dice down too, so goddamn much.
Somebody says they looked at another picture and the cat bug's on the six. So there you go.
Wonderful.
There you go. So, yeah, I will be having it because it's. I have seen most people say that when you. When you sit down, and I watch, because we've been doing Death Clock for over a year now in Madison, and you watch players take their first turn, and they take 15 minutes to just advance.
Yeah.
They're not rolling dice, they're not doing anything, but it was 15 minutes just to go forward. I want to see them have to do, I mean, it's like, how? My first turn, I think the biggest first turn of my life was maybe 3 minutes.
Well, you didn't play Lilith in Mark 1.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, yeah, the game's over. Yeah. But yeah, it's just amazing. I
still got 20 shots to go. My time's up.
I think Death Clock is superior, but time turns helps train people to take turns faster.
Yes. Sometimes it comes up on the forums or wherever. Mm-hmm. Somebody will ask, how do I practice for Death Clock? Yeah. And the answer is play time turns.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because if you play 10-minute turns, you'll know how long a turn should take. Yeah. And then when you switch to Death Clock, even though the clock says an hour, you're 9 minutes into your turn. You're like, this turn should be over soon, you know, and it encourages you to have that speed.
Yeah. You also get threat assessment down really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Death Clock creates some odd laziness. And I see people, we have more and more Death Clock. They just need to get things moving with that time turns. And people go, but I didn't activate seven of my things. Like, well, it sucks to be you. I'll be faster next time. I mean, so I'm going to be doing some time turn stuff just to get people's speed back up. I completely agree every argument you want to make how the games end better because of Death Clock, and yes, they do, but we need to see people moving faster in general, I think.
Yeah, and the thing, the tie breaks now, the dice down tie breaks are way better than they were a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I think the metas have all shifted to Death Clock, so they haven't even noticed that, but a lot of work went into getting those tie breaks to be less random and shitty. Like, you know, I have my entire army left, I'm tabling Andy, but his one remaining 2-point solo is in this zone, and none of my guys are, so he wins on dice down.
Yep.
That doesn't happen anymore with the way that...
I didn't even know that. I just thought it was always the same.
The way it is now is you count what you have on the whole table. So I've got 50 points to his two, and his guys in the zone are double, so I'd have 50 to his four. Guess what? I still win. You know, it's less stupid than 2-0 because you only count the zone.
Because that way you still want the jacks and stuff because when they start doubling. But then if you still have a bunch of jacks left, that means you're not doing as bad as you could be.
And so even one jack being doubled isn't as good as four jacks that aren't in the zone. Correct. You know, so the guy who's winning, if it's a close game, it's a huge deal to be in the zone. But one could argue that's how it should be.
Yeah, I would. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with that. So time turns, we're bringing them back. Gen Con announcement, surprise. We snuck it into the Gen Con argument.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind actually bringing a bucket load of timers down to Wednesday nights and just playing games with timers.
We have a death clock and a timer here, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
my phone doesn't do that either.
There's an app.
My phone could barely run a war room.
Okay.
No, it is fine.
I almost segued for you earlier. We were talking about Shadows of the Brimstone, and I was going to bring up Imperial Assault. Yes.
So I wanted to talk about, as a new topic, talk about Imperial Assault, because we Katie used to do some board game reviews, and we all play board games, so it's like a mini review of Imperial Assault. And for those of you who don't know, Imperial Assault is a Star Wars-themed adventure game by Fantasy Flight Games. It is one of the one-versus-many style games. One player is plays the Imperial Army, and the other players are one to four other players play the Rebels. This takes place, and this is basically after A New Hope, is the time scale of the game. You play a camp. It's campaign based, and I think a campaign is either 10 or 12 missions long. I don't forget exactly how many it is. Half the missions are scripted, so if you play the core campaign again and again, you'll do the exact same six missions. But then there's a side mission deck which gets changed based on the Imperial player and based on which of the many. I think the game comes with 8 characters. Each character has their own custom side mission, and then there's just random other side missions. So 6 core missions, 6 random missions. As you play the campaign, the Rebel players and the Imperial player level up. They get experience. They customize their characters. They get new gear. They get new abilities. So it's that kind of adventure-style game. It's an interesting game. If you've played Descent or you've played Descent...
the old Doom game before
Descent. Or even Super Dungeon Explorer. It's kind of like...
Yeah, exactly. It's a one versus the group mentality.
It's not an adventure game, but you just mentioned Fury of Dracula. It's a one versus many style game.
Level 7. Mega Protocol
is exactly like the style.
Yep.
I'm going to say everything but Fury of Dracula has this problem, because Fury of Dracula is the same board, the same thing every time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else has kind of more variables. When you have a campaign where it's 10 adventures and it's one versus many, you have to balance it out in such a way that both sides are capable of winning. And then you have to decide as a game designer, well, if it's 4 versus 1, does that mean the Imperial player should only win 1 out of 5? So are the other 4 players, or should it be 50-50? What kind of enforced balance do you want on difficulty to make sure both sides are kind of getting the victories? Yeah.
And also with a campaign mode, like with most games, if you have a campaign, it should get harder as you go along. Like that's one thing we had when we played 11-7 and Mega Protocol, is that the first like 4 or 5 missions as the humans, we just annihilated you.
Yeah,
we just fucking just cakewalked all over you, because the game had a difficulty curve where it got harder.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is that for you, it sure sucked for those first 7 missions because you just couldn't win.
Yeah.
Because those were supposed to be the easy missions. Well, they weren't easy for you.
Yeah. Exactly. And then that brings up another point, is the balancing. And what's different to me in Imperial Assault versus the other games, okay, let's say there's the 4 of us are playing. In a given turn, a character hits 2 actions. You can move, attack. You can heal. You know, there's like, no, your basic.
Yeah.
You can choose 2 things. Well, if there's all these. Imperial Assault's kind of a race game, so you have to win by turn 7 or turn whatever. So you know, okay, there's 7 of us, 2 turns each times, you know, 4 players times everyone. We only have X amount of actions.
Yeah.
And the game is built around those kind of things. So it's like if you play Descent, the players lose if they die X amount of times in a campaign. You just died 4 times, maybe 3 of the deaths were Nathan, 1 death was Andy, or whatever, however combination you get.
I suck.
Exactly. Well, maybe I'm playing Descent and I just keep you're the mage and I keep spawning Razor Wings after you, because I fucking love Razor Wings and Descent. But anyway,
scary.
So, but in Imperial Assault, the time limit is a built-in mechanic. So as a player, you have to constantly rush through. So that was one of our initial concerns, was, you know, we're not really playing a game; we're almost racing the clock, solving a puzzle. Which, you know, that does, some people love that element. So that's, I'm not saying it's a negative, but you have to go.
You have to know that's the kind of game.
A big
it is.
Element of it. And then. Every one versus many games have a, like, how does the person playing the Imperial win? Because level 7 or this game, the guy playing the computer, or the guy playing the bad guy, still has to follow a set of game rules. He can't just be like, and everything crumbles on you. Yes, you know, he gets so many threat points a turn. He has so many.
Caven.
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 Yeah. Exactly.
Caven.
Yeah, and level 7 is
wall
Caven. Yeah. So you have to, so the game has to give you, you know, X amount of ways to kill players. And what I find in level 7, in Imperial Assault, is if your group, like our gaming group, is very meta, as far as, you know, we play a game, we really game the game. We're really about maximizing the most efficient way to do everything, and we think about our turns, and if it's a 4 people, they're going to talk about what they're going to do before they do it. And the Imperial player we were playing with, is when he knew the mission ahead of time, so he was thinking about it ahead of time to make it all fair and balanced. But in that game, one of the best ways for the Imperial player to stop the players is to do what's called stun. stun. If you get stunned, you have to spend an action to remove stun. So it removes 50% of your actions.
Sure.
So now you have, you know, four actions times seven, you know, four times eight rounds. Now suddenly you're being, half your people are being stunned half the time. That cuts your actions down in half. It's an amazing way for the Imperial player to get ahead and win the games. Now, when you take away half of what a person can do on their turn, that kind of takes the fun out of the game.
Right.
And then one of the other Imperial things you can do is when you play the game, you have health and you have strain. If you want to do super powerful things, you strain your character to a limit, and then you have to like rest down and get rid of the strain, and you can repeat. Another way the Imperial player can win is he forces all this generic strain on you. So now you can play, but now you can't do anything cool.
Right.
So the game has all these built-in mechanics that the Imperial player, when he uses, can get ahead, but now suddenly it's like it's kind of like how we play, how we feel against playing against play.
I was going to say it's like a Haley one thing where your best strategy is to take your opponent's fun out of the game.
So that was like my biggest challenge. After playing so long, it came, and our Imperial player learned that stun was amazing, and we hated stun. Jeremy had a coworker who they went through the campaign. Their Imperial player never used stun. They fucking loved the game. They beat every mission but the last mission because they were never stunned. We had Epic Nate running it for us, and he just realized really that these two character types would stun, so that's all he spawned. So for like nine missions, we only fought the exact same two things whenever it was legally spawned. I mean, some missions you can only spawn X, Y, or Z.
Sure.
But every single time he could spawn those things, he of course spawned those things because it was the best thing against us.
And he's trying to win. It's not like a DM in a role-playing game. This is a competitive game.
It's so, not like the true Empire as well, that we're just going to send waves of stormtroopers after them. We got
Royal Guard after Royal Guard after Royal Guard. There's a lot of fucking Royal Guard in our world. And they were amazing. So there's that element, which is, so I mean, I think the game can be fun, but it's hard to play the game. I think that game has a balance issue to where if you're playing in a group, you have to find a way that, you know, you don't want to say, okay, Imperial player, we'll play the game, but you can't stun us because maybe he'll get rolled the entire 12 games and he's not going to have any fun.
Right.
But Nate's going to play with another group of friends who are a little bit less competitive, and he's going to try other methods and see if he can win the game without stunning and seeing if that impacts their fun level.
He should play with your coworkers group and stun the fuck out of them.
Yeah, just play with them. And then what was annoying is the very last mission, you have an impossible fight. It's like this, you fight Darth Vader, because, you know, of course you're going to fight Darth Vader, and his abilities, you're just like, oh, so he's like, it's an unkillable thing. So it was kind of disappointing that the final campaign, and of course, the final campaign, who wins and loses, is technically the winner overall, which I wouldn't even care about if most of the journey was well. The other thing that I think four versus one games struggle with is the balance of missions. So obviously this game has time turns for most of the missions. Some missions is like the missions we played that there was no time limit, we just rolled the DM. And the couple times there was a time limit for the Imperial player, he lost hard. Because we were forced to play Imperial time turns so well, we knew how to stall him exactly, and he wasn't prepared to like have to do things in order. So we just completely destroyed him by doing just stall tactics. He had no, because, you know, he wasn't prepared to have to be in the receiving end of that.
Yeah.
But then there's just like balance of a scenario. Scenarios like you have to do, you know, you start a map out, it's like, okay, you start off in one part of the map, you fight some enemies, you open up a door, then new things spawn, or then new thing spawns, and then you have to have like the mechanics that make sense. Like, we won some missions because we just did these wonky things like run, dodge through enemies, hit a switch, run around, hit switches. Just like, we ignored the game to do this. We won by scenario because we followed the rules to win, but we ignored everything else in the game. So it wasn't even, we were like, yay, we're winning and no one's having fun.
Right.
And it's like, but if we stood and fought, we lost. So that was my big problem with Mansion of the Madness. That's a game where you had to basically ignore the game to win, which took away that game's fun to us too.
Yeah.
So Imperial Assault, I think if you have a casual group who just aren't being super metagaming about it, and your Imperial player...
Just play it as if you would see the movies. Like, you play it probably... I bet you it probably plays really nice as if you play the Imperial part as if the Imperial were actually doing what they were doing.
Leveling up your character was fun. Getting new guns and skills are really fun. By the end of the campaign, our characters were doing some pretty cool stuff. Except when we were constantly stunned or whatever, because he knew that was the only way to stop us. So then we couldn't do anything. Again, we weren't having any fun. It was just
you leveled up and got skills you could never use because you were strained.
Yeah, it was just
yay.
So it was. And even the level 7. My issue with level 7 was it was a fun game we played. We played about 70% of the campaign before we finally stopped because the scenarios were so oddly balanced. Like you said, the first some were too easy, then it got too ridiculously hard. It was like this weird balance of back and forth, and even that game. What the DM could do was so limited. Like they wanted, it was almost like they wanted the players to have more fun than the DM because you were so like hamstringed. I found of all those games, Descent, first edition, non-campaign was the most fun for everyone. It was ridiculous for both sides. Both sides could do stupidly powerful, obnoxious things.
Yeah.
And that was the best. The campaign was super balanced, unbalanced for in many ways. And
hey, second, that boat campaign was great.
And then the second...
Remember that one map where there was a 75% chance all the heroes died randomly?
Yeah, it was pretty good stuff. I liked it. And then, like, the second edition Descent streamlined everything and took away all the craziness of it. So, like, if you like those kind of games, in my opinion, first edition Descent is the best because it's the most just crazy nonsense for everyone. It's kind of like how War Machine... Not Mark One was. Everyone did crazy things, so it was okay.
Yeah.
But so, in conclusion, Imperial Assault, I don't know if I would play it again. Maybe if the new campaign I would try it, but man, I think if you have a game that really jams the system and your DM jams the system, I think it's hard to have fun.
I'm excited about the Conan game that we kickstarted.
I'm excited for it, too. I mean, I threw a lot of money into it.
For a lot of reasons. Number one, it has a fuckload of scenarios.
Yep.
I also like that it has, and this goes to that min-maxing thing you're talking about. There's like dozens of characters they've had. Because if it was a character in one of the Conan books, it's in this. Like all the villains, all the heroes, all the random things, even that random elephant dude from The Elephant in the Tower, he's a playable hero. Like, it's just crazy. But one thing that people have pointed out, and the guy on Board Game Geek started a thread complaining because he was comparing a couple of the heroes, and he was like, Hero A is just a strictly better version of Hero B. And from one standpoint, you know, it's like, well, that is a valid point, and that's a flaw in the game, possibly, because why would you ever play Hero B? And the answer is, maybe you think Hero B is cool. You know, and it's cool to have that roster, and it also helps with it. It's almost like a built-in possible balance thing.
Well, Zombicide is the same thing. It's obviously much better and worse characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, Honk is the best.
Yes, he is.
And I don't know any other characters.
But that's the thing, when we play Zombicide, and like you talked about how we like to min-max games, and we like try to break the system. That's true. We do try to find optimal gameplay strategies. We try to find, you know, things like that. But on the other hand, sometimes you play Zombicide and you're like, I want to be El Cholo, because it's cool to be El Cholo.
Yeah.
I don't care whether El Cholo is good or bad. You're El Cholo. I mean, come on. You know? Yeah. I played Honk. Honk turned out to be a really goddamn good character, but I played him because it was a big fat clown called Uncle Honk, and I just wanted to run around as a big fat clown called Uncle Honk.
Turned out he was amazing, but that's not why you started there.
Yeah.
When I got in the creeks, I'm like, Undead looks cool. I didn't know how cheesy they were going to be. Lucky me. But, you know, that's not why I started. And I think the Kona game has a good chance. It seems like the people behind it really seem to have a good grasp. And if a game has, like, Zombicide has a lot of bad missions, we just don't play those. So some of those games require some trial and error, but when Imperial Assault is built as a campaign where you only play these missions in these orders, and certain side missions, well, now we just know we would never do those.
I also like the action, because you mentioned so many of these games have the same action mechanic.
Yeah.
You know, you do a move and attack, or you do an attack and then a move, or you do two moves, or you do two attacks. Like, you get two actions, and there's these five possible things you can do with the action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I level 7 messed with that a little bit with the adrenaline
which was a really cool mechanic.
Yep, and that's what Conan is similar, because it has the I forget what they call it, but it's the same system where you have the pool of energy and you move them into different things, and so you don't necessarily
get... like Bonpak kind of did a thing where they move stuff around. That seems to be a really fun way of doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, Mombach.
I think one of the things that when you were talking about the problems that you had with Imperial Assault, they really bring me back to the problems I had with Super Dungeon Explorer when it first came out. Like the first installment where you had just Starfire and the Bone folks, the kobolds. That one was like, if you played the Dungeon Master, you were just straight up screwed. Like, the heroes were way too powerful. It was hard to kill any of them. If they took specific ones, you just were straight up, you have no chance. And then they came out with the Von Drak expansion, and it seemed like they tried to correct that a little bit, but they overcorrected, where, like, the Spectre guy is just, like, ridiculous. As soon as he spawns, the heroes are just dead. So I'm interested. That's why I'm interested about it over Gen Con. But one of the things that Imperial Assault has that Super Dungeon doesn't, even though I think I've heard a few things about skirmishes with them, is the side skirmish game. Did you guys get a chance to look at that?
That is the other cool thing about Imperial Assault. So you can do the campaign one, or you can go, you know what, I just want to do a one. I think it's mostly designed to be one-on-one. Maybe you could do two-on-two where once, you know, a team is Rebels or one guy is Rebels and the other side's the Imperial, and you just literally fight. And you get, it's like making it, you build like a War Machine army. You just get each, because each guy has points. So you get 100 points, and maybe you take Vader, maybe take a bunch of Stormtroopers, and you just like fight out in a skirmish battle. I personally haven't played it, but I know some of the guys did, and they've kind of enjoyed that.
Damaris and I did the Super Dungeon Explorer version of that in last year's Adepticon. Yeah. It was fun.
So yeah, I've heard more positive things about that, but I wouldn't buy the game for that mode. But maybe that mode is really fun, and that would be enough to get someone maybe a mediocre campaign with a bunch of verses with Star Wars figures is what somebody wants.
Yeah, it was
and
just,
the figures look really cool.
There's well, I mean, if it's a really cool Star Wars skirmish game, I don't give a shit that there also has this campaign game built into it. I could burn that rule book and just play a cool Star Wars skirmish game.
If you've got a friend who wants it, if you have someone who's into that too, yeah, you could do that all the time.
Is it compatible with the old Star Wars skirmish game that they had?
No, it's completely.
I mean, like, are the figures compatible?
What size are they would be the only thing that matters. Because that's what I was going to say is when you mentioned that you wanted to talk about this, is I was excited last week because we got one of the Kickstarter updates about the Conan game, and this particular update was looking at one of the scenario boards, and I looked at it, and I'm like, holy fuck, I can use this board for IKRPG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's no reason I can't have adventures on this board. And all of a sudden, I just realized I'm going to get, like, these 10 awesome scenario boards, and there's nothing stopping a DM, like, and obviously it doesn't have to be me, like, people out there. You know, you can use these mechanics for other things. So as long as the minis are the same size.
Mm-hmm. The Conan board game is fun because they give nice updates. And they're always apologetic when they run into, like, a glitch. They're like, oh, by the way, our shipping company fucked us, so it's taking
they
us 2 months.
They got super fucked, which is a
shame. And I never get mad about that kind of shit because you can't control
it. Wasn't it the French government seized all their money or something? Like, they got too much money, and so they couldn't have it?
They couldn't get the money. Yeah. Because it was, like, through Amazon to them, they lost. They couldn't access, like, the $2 million or whatever they got for, like, an extra 90 days. So they're like, well, we want to do this, and we started on some of the artwork, but we can't do any production until we get our, you know, money from the government. Yeah. So they've been having some odd problems, which obviously they didn't think was going to happen.
So next year I'll have a Conan game.
Yep.
That's okay. The longer they push back the pledge manager, the less it'll hurt when I have to explain to Raylene where all our money went.
Yeah. Four versus one games.
Did they take your money already?
I did the pledge that I had to do to get the Kickstarter exclusive stuff.
Sure.
So I already paid for all the exclusive stuff. When the pledge manager opens, I'm just going to buy everything.
Okay, so they're going to have... They still have to send the backer kit.
Talk Brian out of having everything, and I'll just give him a few $100
and
buy his.
I'm either all or in. If I only had the core without the extras, it'd be useless.
There's no
unless
in between.
One of us is moving away. There's no reason for our group to have two of everything.
I 100% agree. I made a couple mistakes with Kickstarter. I'm happy about most of my decisions. That's the one I didn't have to do.
Yeah.
But oh well. My last comment on Imperial Assault is what's weird about it. If you play four players, like I said, every player gets two actions. If you play three players, one person gets to do two actions. And then what we found out the few times we played when someone missed, the game became super easy for the players. Because when you're able to say this particular person, because it changes each turn. So if you
just two of you take three and one gets two, so it averages out to
so
eight.
So you know if the person that is getting stunned the most can get that extra activation, that's two more things they got to do, or you get to move extra farther. It oddly broke the game in the player's favor almost too much.
Well, because you're getting the same number of actions, but you get to kind of attribute them more accurately to where you need them.
Yeah, exactly, which is weird. So I think at three players, the Imperial player almost has to go all out and do everything mean because the players have such a weird advantage. Because the Imperial player doesn't know where that extra activation is going to come from.
I wonder how much of it is that. I wonder what it would be like if you had one player with eight actions.
If you play three players, one versus two, then each player just gets double actions. So it's like depending on each how you break up the actions, it breaks down. If you just did one on one, then it would be the same as four because it had the actions wouldn't be manipulated, but 2, 3, and 4, the actions are spread out differently. But yeah, that's it. So I'm hesitant on the game. Our group definitely, our DM kind of had fun. He couldn't understand that taking away our actions or getting us, you know, overly stressed he didn't see why we had a problem with it. And I don't know how to say, I just like, it's just not fun. I mean, I don't care if I win or lose. If I'm able to do cool stuff, we have these cool battles and we just come out on the wrong side of things, you know, whatever. But when I can't do half my things, why am I here?
Yeah, I agree. It's not fun.
It's pretty popular in Board Game Geek, and you know, so people are enjoying it. So good for them. I mean, it's an expensive game, so if people get to play it. I mean, it's, you know, it is what it is. That's all I got. That's my thing. Do we have anything else? Topics? Are we zapping? Or we have anything else?
I think it's kind of zappy time.
We could do some zappies. Twitter does not appear to have that many.
Do we want to maybe
no?
Okay.
Don't even. I know where you're going.
You where are you son going?
Of a bitch.
What?
He's done.
Nothing. I went 0-5. Nobody got a. I got a coin. Did you get a coin?
I did.
You suck, Andy. Did you get a coin? Andy helped to run. Yeah. You ran. Hooray for everything.
Amanda also got. She was very happy that she had the same record as you.
Yeah, the player who didn't. I beat her on strength of schedule.
Yeah, I guess so. But she said she went 0-5 and had a clean house.
Yeah.
I said that was very gendered of her.
We had three ladies at the event. They all went 3-2.
Yeah, pretty decent.
Good job, ladies. And one got the best troll coin.
And one tied for Legion. You got best scorn. Casey almost got the Legion.
Man, her strength of schedule wasn't very good. I wonder why.
The Acker, yeah, she played you. The Acker's won Prince, so they got both Prince.
I forgot about she kept coming over and cheering me on at my game. She's like, go, Nathan, go. I'm like, wow, Casey's being really supportive. And then the last game, she's like, damn it, Nathan, win so I can get a fucking coin. I'm like, oh, you don't care about me at all.
She probably doesn't.
Hurtful.
You disappointed last people on strength of schedule.
All right, I have the.
I have Facebook's already.
Do you have last week's Facebook? Yes. Because we didn't answer any of those four.
We did.
Did we?
No,
we didn't.
Those were posted on Thursday when I made the announcements about.
Okay.
Oh, one thing we should talk about before we go to Zapping Rumbles:
Rumble
the crippled system Rumble tomorrow.
Which I almost forgot about. I almost made the plans tomorrow.
Oh, fuck you.
Crippled System Rumble. Yay.
Crippled System Rumble. It's
7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're doing a thing.
It's 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. or until,
7 p.m. until somebody quotes, breaks a controller.
Yeah. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be playing some video games with all of us plugged in.
Not Brian.
Brian, you'll be there.
I could be.
Jeremy will be there.
Yeah.
This will be Brian, Geezy, Nathan, Andy, and Jeremy.
Yeah.
Possibly Katie in the background. I don't know if that's possible, but we'll have the old school Crippled System cast.
There you go.
Someday it'll be the old school cast. You get to come to that.
Yeah.
At least I hope I didn't make the B list.
No, see, you're like next generation.
Next gen. Yeah.
So sure, you're like, but you might be the Denise Crosby of next gen. Just heads up.
But you are in that echelon.
I'm getting there, yeah.
Yeah.
One of these days. You guys will have to haze me somehow. I don't know.
Well, being on the podcast is pretty much hazing.
There's
enough.
A difference between hazing and punishment.
All right. Well, I've got those four.
You got those four?
Yeah. Fine, I've got them all.
Well, you can't have them all. They're on
I
different
got them
screens.
Well, somebody.
Well, then fucking say here. Gornus78 in the thread, who again might be 37. He hasn't verified or denied it yet. Asked if we looked at the Reaper Bones Kickstarter that ended yesterday.
No.
I always skip the Reaper Bones myself because they look cool, but I don't know what the fuck I would do with those miniatures.
Yeah, I have no use for them. If we had an active RPG group or something, it'd be one thing, but I have no use for those minis.
Even then, I would pick up the used D&D minis line.
Yeah,
like the pre-painted ones. I would much rather use those than the bones. Bones are just they're cool, but they're as expensive as what they cost. They're really cheaply made.
I recently had some access to bones as far as painting because in Baraboo I do a service to some of the D&D folks where I charge really cheap to paint bones minis because mm-hmm. you just want something that looks neat. And painting, they say that you can just brush paint on there right away. No, that doesn't work. The other thing is like the detail. From a modeling perspective, some of those details are just horrendous. And I know they're cheap, but when your models like don't have a mouth or their eyes are questionable, like it's a little rough for me. There's just not a lot of engagement that way. The other thing, like when you do get that amount of minis, like I have a guy, a friend of mine who bought into two Kickstarters. I think he has some that he's never even opened, and that he might just be stuffing his mattress with. It's just it's a lot, way too much.
It's to me the quality for them. They're some of them are actually really really decent quality, but it feels like the old like Milton Bradley miniatures. That just in the terms of how they're sculpted. I mean, like the details around the mouth. Bradley Cooper, yes. What?
Milton Berle did miniatures.
Milton Bradley. I said Milton Bradley, did I?
Yeah, you said Milton Bradley.
Yeah.
Was Milton Bradley founded by Milton Berle and Bradley Cooper?
No.
or
fuck.
Well, the other thing, one last thing I'll say about bones is if you want anything with a harpoon or a sword, you will have to just live with the fact that they're wielding a fun noodle.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other big thing is, yeah, anything with a weapon, they're
you can't even
just
straighten
bent.
Them.
Yeah.
You can't, like, cool them down, heat them up, or temper them in any way, shape, or form, or you're going to break them more
He's
likely
like
than
the Metapatorians. They're plastic now, so they're fine, but the Metapatorians were questionable.
Yeah.
Do I have all the pieces? I think I have the swords. I could replace some of your other swords, but anyway.
Zappity
grumble. What is the coolest caster kill you pulled off with a power attack?
I can't remember at all the memory of it.
This is a trample.
Tramples are cool.
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't do this one, but I did witness somebody use a conservator to throw Balder into a daisy chain of druids so that Axis could get his way through to him. That was pretty legit.
I did see somebody throw their own Kruger with a warp wolf into a Gorax who threw the Kruger at something else, and then he finally ended up behind a wall.
They threw him three times because they figured out where he was death, so they just had one beast go up to throw him back, and then another beast threw him back further, and they just kept tossing him back towards his deployment zone.
Until he took
12 damage and ended up knocked down. It turns out having 12 extra damage on yourself and being knocked down a foot further back is still death.
So I guess that's probably the coolest thing I've seen, but it's not one I did.
Yeah. It wasn't a power attack, but it could have been done with a throw or a slam or something. But they had the old scenario where the hole in the middle got bigger and bigger, and I Gorton feeded and pulled somebody's caster into the hole, but it wasn't a power attack. But that was cool.
Yep. All right, Zappity.
Grumble.
I think I've gladiator slammed things and got the dexterous of a gladiator to get up to something. That's all I can think of.
Yeah.
Because he's got the grand slam, which is fun.
Grand slam, so then you're in base-to-base contact with him.
Yeah,
because
he followed
it. It slams farther and you move up.
Did you just plug Denny's with the grand slam witch?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. No.
Okay.
Zappity. Hamburgers, cheese, or no?
Cheese?
If you put cheese on, it's not a hamburger anymore.
Yeah.
It's a cheeseburger at that point. That is a valid point.
Yep.
Zappity. Yep.
Grumble. What would be in a crippled...
I will say this, and I'm going to be, you know, I don't want to turn into this guy on the forum. Or not the forum, the podcast. These are different things. See, it's the malnutrition doing this to me. Is that recently I've been trying to shave some calories off of how much food I'm shoving down my gullet. And I found an easy way to do that is to stop putting cheese on things. And a hamburger without cheese isn't as good as a hamburger with cheese, but I don't miss the cheese as much as I thought I would.
What I would do, I have a coworker who stopped eating bread. I would rather have a meat and cheese without the bread. I give me the meat.
Yeah, and just have just like a, you could do that. I mean, because at that point, you're almost just having like a steak.
I have a friend who gave it bread. I told him, I think I'd rather be dead.
Yeah, like, I love bread.
But if I had to choose cheese, like we did the whole cheese or... I would get rid of the bread over the cheese.
I eat cheese and crackers as a snack still. Yeah. It's just like, and it's delicious, and I love the cheese, and it's good. But like the burger, like a nice juicy burger with some, I know you guys go to No Garden, but with some lettuce and tomatoes and, you know, the condiments and some fried onions and stuff, like it's really flavorful. I don't necessarily need that slice of cheese. And it cuts out like 200 fucking calories.
Well, because you put other things. Like for me, I don't put other things.
Yeah, since you don't put the garden on there, you need the cheese.
Yeah. That's also my bumper sticker.
I need the cheese.
I support Scott Walker next to all sorts of like liberal things just to throw off people when I drive around.
Gay marriage now, a woman's body, a woman's right. I support Scott Walker.
Yeah.
I love high speed trains.
I almost want to do that. Ironically,
I actually. I like to troll people. I don't know if you know this about me. I've trolled people in the past occasionally. I am so tempted to get an I support Walker bumper sticker, but I'm afraid what I want to do is just to see what will happen in my car. Like, I wonder, because there are some crazy liberals in Madison.
Just put it on other people's car.
Well, I want to put it in my car. I want to put it in my car, park it somewhere, and just like sit back under like a tree somewhere and just like watch my car and wait for someone to come like break it. Just
park it at like the Planned Parenthood headquarters or something.
Park it on UW.
Yeah, just right there on State Street.
Yeah, I just want to like, so that's my money. But I like my car.
You could see the car fire from orbit.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry, I'm off tack of that one.
No, it's fine. Zappity.
Yeah.
And what would be on the crippled system burger?
Meat and cheese.
And beer.
We'd promise to put a bunch of stuff on there, but we'd never get around to it.
Yeah. your burger would be in progress.
It'd be from some other company, really.
Go to Culver's. Yep.
What's on the Muse and Minnie's burger? That.
Yeah. It's the same thing, just better.
Aww.
But it would say fuck on top.
No, I meant the other way. Like, ours would be the same thing, but better.
Yeah, that's what...
I think Andy gave me an awe, like...
I knew what he meant. I knew what you meant, but it could be interpreted as that theirs is so better than ours.
At least I gave the clarifying
statement. We all know their podcast is terrible.
Theirs would have better presentation to it. I mean, because they're really working on their whole...
Ours has a better theme song.
What are you talking about? Ours is doing better now.
Yeah.
We're finally back to live.
Yeah.
Live is good.
Are you saying that that's not good?
One thing that people who even hate us have said is that we have really good professional sound quality and everything like that.
That's why I fart into a cup.
Yeah. What?
Yep.
Zappity.
Crumble.
That would be on a crumble system burgers. A fart in a cup. Would you rather play Age of Sigmar or Monopoly?
Oh, that's toughy.
I would give it a shot
for Age of Sigmar. As much crap as we've talked about it, I would at least give it a shot. Monopoly is just a fucking waste of 8 hours of your life.
Monopoly with none of the bullshit house rules that all of us grew up playing, but none of which are actually in the game, is actually tolerable. You know the free money on free parking? Right?
No. I never had
free money. Oh, okay, good. Because people play with shit like that. And you know, every time you land in a place, you're supposed to auction it off, right?
Yeah.
You know, people don't do that, and the game takes 8 hours. Also, option C, stab myself in the eyes with dildos until I die.
Probably the better choice. Zappity.
Grumble. What would be the best way of describing the game to new people?
Which game?
This game,
I
assume.
Lost the game.
Well, if they're new to the game, but not... new to, I'm assuming they're talking about War Machine, but if they're new to War Machine but not mini wargaming in general, I've always used the whole, like, if you played a 40k or type game like that, it's like, you know, it's like a slingshot fight with a ton of guys with slingshots, but War Machine's more of like bazooka fights just because the power level's so different. Because, like, if you look at 40K and the way it's set up or any Warhammer game in general, there's, like, maybe the one to three cool pieces that you have, but the rest is just a big army of pea shooters. Or at least that's what it was when I first started playing. But with War Machine, the pea shooter aspect's kind of gone, and you're kind of exchanging it for lots of guys with powerful stuff.
The three things I usually bring up when explaining War Machine is it's like chess, where your most powerful piece, the queen, is also the king, in that when she dies, you lose.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to 40K, to me, the biggest difference is that units aren't pools of hit points. Each guy is killed individually, which is a huge difference and is, in my mind, a big source of the tactical gameplay. And number three, if you've played Magic, you already know how to play. Because it's very, like, Magic players always take to War Machine really easy. Because you have, the untap and upkeep phase. I mean, it's like the control phase, the maintenance phase, and everything like that. I've just found those three things to be relatively true.
And I was like, I'm talking to people who play 40. I'm like, you know, the GW world is you roll mass amount of dice going off of percentage. And this is smaller dice, but more mathematically figured out.
The bell curve, yeah.
It also ties with Magic as well as for deck building. Is you're trying to build things in your color that synergize well with each other.
Well, and with another thing with Magic too is, like, you have the idea of, like, I don't know, I think Magic's gotten to the point where people forget about, like, thematically what it was, where you are a planeswalker or a caster and you're having all these other things fight for you, like minion or your models or your creatures.
Yeah. Whenever we're at a convention and people are walking in and out, there's always like when we should weekend, that same hotel had a lot of pilots stay in there because for whatever reason they had a thing with their airlines. And I was stopped many times by the normals saying, well, what's going on in that room? What are all those weird people doing with those miniatures? And, like, what's that game? And I don't want to talk to these people. So I'm like, imagine chess with where when you attack something, you roll dice and you can move, you know, you measure things instead of that. That's what I always think.
Squares, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically you 4x4 board of chess where you measure things and you roll dice to kill things, but it's just otherwise, you know. And then I'll leave me alone.
Yeah.
If I say chest and plus, then they
did you
bring...
pull up the other three?
No, I'm
you
still...
said you had both.
He's got them.
Right, I got them right here.
Oh, okay. Exactly.
I was waiting for chat. That's what I was gonna.
Oh, okay.
Casually segue into right, that.
Yeah. All right, let's go.
I have one from the chat, and I'll let Brian answer this because we all know the correct answer. Are both the Lords of Waterdeep expansions worth it?
If you're gonna play Lords of Waterdeep, you want the expansions. Yes. It enhances the game tenfold.
Zero reason to ever play Lords of Waterdeep without both expansions if they are available.
I would even say
just jump
game.
Straight in. Don't even worry about it. Just Lords of Waterdeep is complete with both expansions. There's no reason to ever play without them.
Correct.
Even your first game.
Yeah,
even the okay. first game.
Even
the
first
think.
Game. They don't. They
the
one of the expansions
element.
Corrupt. One of the expansions adds zero complexity. It just adds three more
Another
spaces.
Lord.
Yeah, yeah. And the other expansion adds skulls, which are super easy. The skull spaces are better, but they give you skulls, and skulls are bad. End of explanation.
Gotcha.
That's not hard to add to what you're already learning.
Mm-hmm. Zappy.
Gumball.
It would be like, not playing with that would be like saying, oh, your first game of chess, you shouldn't let pawns move twice because it's really confusing. No, it's not. There, you already explained it. Just move on with life.
Zappity.
Grumble.
All right. We're not holding to the the sanctity of Zappity Grumble. It's
Shut
always,
up, Zappity.
It's always Grumble. Zappity Grumble, and then Zappity. End the conversation.
You say always.
Not Grumble. Always. Not always. I know. Zappity. I know. I'm a hypocrite.
Zappity.
Yeah.
Grumble.
Because in general, when people...
Fuck you. How did you guys decide to start a podcast all those years ago, and who had the initial idea?
It's all Andy's fault.
I don't know who's the actually who of the second part, but the how is...
Well, the how is all Andy.
No, it was me as well.
As far as like getting, you were the one who put the effort to get things
well,
going.
Well, yeah, the logistics were done by him. Yeah, I'm saying the original idea was just no at Denny's. We after every War Machine night, Wednesday nights we'd play War Machine, and then afterwards we'd go to Denny's and just talk until 2-3 in the morning.
100%.
And we were like,
not me.
Yeah, not you. It was like Andy and me and Andy, or Andy and me and Jim and various other people. Depending, you know, Jeremy, once he moved to the area, would come and drag Katie along sometimes. The other Jeff, Rick, sometimes, whatever. Just a circle of people. And we just talk and say, man, there's no reason this couldn't be taped and put on the internet.
Yep.
And I agreed to do it because I never thought Andy would follow through with it.
Yes.
That's how I do a few weird things with Andy sometimes. A couple things. I'm like, I'll agree to it because it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
And then it happens.
Yeah, like Brian said, Andy did all the logistics of getting the gear and setting it up and everything. And I honestly don't know who the original idea was. It was just a group thing. Like
it was
because we would all mention it from time to time. But man, this is golden. We should just record this shit.
Yeah, it really started off as that, and that's how I think our podcasts have really been in that same vein. Is you game with a bunch of your guys down at the store. Then you go out to Denny's afterwards, and the conversations that you have with your gaming friends at Denny's or wherever you hang out, that's what we want our podcast to be. And that's.
I just figure everyone has friends like that, so they talk. It's like everyone has a D&D group. Like when someone tells me about their D&D group, I just want to murder them. Like I want them to die so bad.
That's different.
So I thought that would treat me the same thing. And it's not with pod. I mean, it's obviously different because it worked. But that was my initial thought. I would have the same disdain because I will commit murder one day to a person who says, my D&D character, and I'm just going to fucking just write into his throat and tear it out. It's going to fucking like Roadhouse, Patrick Swayze the thing, and then I'm going to just hold it up in the air and just fucking eat it. And just like, it's going to be amazing. That will happen someday.
So to kind of let people know behind the scenes, the initial idea was going to be Nathan and myself being the hosts for the podcast. And then we would just have other people come on and, you know, just from our random people from our gaming group. And then Brian... basically was
stayed.
pretty much
he was in the shades the first episode,
and we didn't expect any of the three of you to go for more than one or two episodes.
You originally
you also did not expect to go for more than
one. I thought it was a stupid fucking idea.
Yeah,
still occasionally do think it's a stupid fucking idea.
Occasionally.
You didn't. Yeah, you had no desire to be on the podcast at all. You just kind of agreed to do with it, and then we had Jeremy and Katie on then too, and they're like, this, I guess they had fun.
Yeah.
and then it just kept on going. The whole host, co-host, or co-hosts
Katie,
just kind of fell on the wayside.
And Katie got her crazy job, so she could have come on. I mean, she has been on. I mean, her job went crazy like November, December, and she's been on with twice since then. She's actually probably quitting her job in the next couple weeks.
Yay.
Well, she realized on Saturday her day of being trapped in Illinois, having problems with the cops, being stranded around strange people at a truck stop without food or water for the animals was less stressful than a day of work. And she had that epiphany going, wow, this is actually not that bad compared to a Monday through Friday. I'm out.
Well, that and she's like, just disappeared from the social life. I mean, used to go to Jeremy and Katie's for board game days on weekends or just drinking, watching
board
games. Yeah, and I'm the one who sees them the most. I mean, even when I went a lot, I saw them more than anyone else. And now I see them once every couple of weeks myself. I mean, and I barely, I mean, I'll talk to them online or chat a little bit. But I very rarely see the Shays myself. Yeah.
Well, I know that one as much of a Facebook stalker as I am, I know they got like a super cool fancy game board table. I just wonder how much that thing's been broken in because of the stress in their lives.
We managed to get the Imperial Assaulting going there every week, but yeah, it's not using them. I mean, I think when Katie gets a new job, she's going to work part time doing some stuff. I think we'll start seeing them and probably hanging out and gaming there bit more. But yeah, she works a lot of weeks. She works most weeks 6 days a week. She puts in multiple 13 to 15 hour days.
Yeah.
For months and just months. Absurd.
And she gives her vacation time to other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I miss Katie. I miss Katie having the podcast because I miss the dynamic that she would have with Nathan. of just like the almost
we
murder.
Didn't tell the Jeremy story, speaking of what we've been
talking about. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
So this is the one story of the event. We're sitting there, and, you know, it's a 50-point Theme Force event.
Yep.
Theme Force event. What does that mean, Brian?
Tier Force. Tier Force 9.
Anyway, regardless of the it's the whole.
No, I wasn't correcting you.
You have to bring theme lists to play.
Oh, okay.
It's a requirement.
Sure.
And we've been doing it for the six pack. I've been validating lists. I don't know why. Usually, I don't care. But the whole six pack, we've been validating lists, especially with Theme Force, when we make sure things are legal. And we're sitting there, and Jeremy and Andy and me, I'm passing. They're going through the validation. After about 12 lists, Jeremy's like, "Man, the state of the game has just changed so much. You know, I hear about it, but man, everything I see are Theme Forces here today. I really thought that it wasn't that big of a deal, but man, all people are doing today are Theme Forces." Me and Andy look at each other. He just keeps going on like five more minutes. Man, another Theme Force. What? Is this game broken now? Is that all that matters in War Machine? Is Theme Force, Theme Force, Theme Force? And I'm like, Jeremy, what's this event
supposed to be? You didn't even say that. Brian and I, we just smiled and just stared at him until he finally said, "Oh, God damn it."
Yeah. Yeah, it was just... So that was pretty good. That was
his dumb Jeremy puppy smile.
Yeah.
He's like, "Man, I can't believe the game nowadays. Fucking Theme Forces everywhere."
By the way, Travis wants to tell you about his D&D group.
Oh my God. Well,
I can't.
Travis,
I don't know if it's robotic. If it's stored in the throat, like his horse.
Where his species or
it's like Rick and Morty. They're robots. He shoots them and the guy's leg falls off. Well, bureaucrats are like robots to me.
Yeah,
I love that line. Anyway, off topic.
Travis shouldn't tell everybody about his other D&D group if you're doing the DMing for a group.
What?
When we were doing the test run for the scenario, he kept on telling us things that the other group
D&D,
did.
But yeah.
For Iron Kingdoms.
Don't tell one of your groups about your other group. That's a good story with women as well. Don't tell one of your girlfriends about the other one.
Yeah.
She likes it when I do this.
In The Witcher, that's going to bite me because I have something with multiple women in The Witcher and I keep setting them in the same location, which I imagine at some point I'm going to have to visit. And I'm not looking forward to that conversation. And I'm just playing a character in the game, but I know he's going to get in trouble. I don't know why. Okay, we just up together, but I have to go on this mission. You should meet me here. I'm like, don't tell her the same place as the last chick. Why are you telling all the women to go there?
You should
be
holding notes.
That way, you know, you don't mix it up. Like, that's why I always only date women with the same name.
Yeah.
I can never call them by the wrong name.
Yeah, I just can't wait when I get to the location. And I'm like, hopefully there's like a, you know, hey, everyone, let's just work it out together. I don't think
you should, we can you make should this keep work. notes on a sheet of paper on the side.
So that way
when you pass away and then next to you is that notepad, we could all be, wait, what? All right, Zebedee.
Grumble.
Which of all are you going to stomp me into the dirt at War Machine Weekend? This is Robert Derfsky.
Do you In a board game, I'll stomp
you. Stomp you in Terra Mystica.
Yeah.
That's what Brian will do.
Yeah. Brian said he was bringing his War Machine stuff, so.
If I go to War Machine Weekend, I'll bring my War Machine
stuff. Oh, it's War Machine Weekend. I was thinking Gen Con.
Yeah. Gen Con, I think I'm playing against set up a couple things in Iron Arena as far as, like, calling people out. But War Machine Weekend, I'd like to get to. I just haven't committed to it yet because I'm really, like, I strained myself pretty hard to go to Gen Con, so I don't know if I can follow up with War Machine Weekend.
And also Gamehole Con as well.
Gamehole Con is coming up. I really want to go to that one because Gamehole Con is the whole reason why I'm going to Gen Con. Also, Gamehole Con will probably be the reason why I'm broke for the entire month of August. So thank you very much.
Gamehole Con, we're going to have Alex on again in the near future. That guy is amazing. And it's already up there in this hot up 10. It's getting, you know, in Midwest as far as being like the
shit's getting real.
Yeah, it's getting like, mm-hmm. It seems like the number two con in the Midwest pretty soon at the rate they're going.
Is Gen Con still leaving Indiana?
No.
They solved that.
Plus, if they were going to go, it wasn't going to be the 2012.
Well, I knew it wasn't happening like next year or anything, but it was going to be a decade.
They might still leave if they get a better contract. I mean, they're just that's when they would be the earliest.
Yeah, 2020, I think it was.
Honestly, they're located, it's growing so much that it's almost difficult where they're at. I mean, I don't think they can go to even a bigger city, but it's getting really stupid. Yeah. How mainstream it is. It's almost a pain to go there in a little bit because it's just you add it. I mean, you probably got another 10,000 cosplayers there that never were there before wandering around and all they do is stand in the hall so people can take pictures of them. And that's fine. That's their thing. I'm not saying that's bad.
Yeah, they worked hard on those costumes. Yeah. You know?
But I'm saying that's 10,000 more people that just stand in a hallway between me and where I'm trying to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. which adds difficulty. And not to mention you got, you know, another 5,000-10,000 of normals just checking out the geek stuff kind of like as it becomes more mainstream going, well, what's this all about?
Do you know if that biker convention is going to be there in the realistic spirit of Zappy? I don't want to get off track, but...
I do not know.
Okay, I just...
I'm bringing my pigs to War Machine Weekend, and I'm going to maybe play in the Last Chance Qualifier again. Maybe. Cool. Otherwise, I'm just going to do a bunch of scrambles.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a lot of the art, the painting lounge stuff. We have like a bunch of folks signed up for doing classes for it. Chris Suri's Master Craftsman for the last couple of years is doing some stuff there.
I've seen better.
Menoth John is going to be there doing a small class about speed painting and some airbrush basics. Cool. I'll be doing some modeling and conversion stuff. I've got two classes for that too. So we'll be doing a lot of that. Who's the Boss will be there. I will not be running it, but I'll be there checking it out, helping out a little bit. But
cool.
I'll be using all my cool stuff.
Cool.
Zappity.
Zappity. And that's it.
Here. Should I try to sell some board games at the auction at Gen Con?
If you have super rare ones, yes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you just have like a standard, you know, like apples to apples or something like that.
Nobody wants your apples to apples.
Nobody.
If you have Dark Tower, you should be auctioning it at Gen Con.
Yes.
Because then you get enough money to pay for your next three Gen Cons.
Gen Con auctions sell for three price ranges. $0.30, $10. $5,000.
Yeah.
Kind of like the rare gem that everyone like.
I don't know what the markup is for Gen Con for them selling it for you because, you know, they actually have to have an auctioneer go up and do that.
I should sell the game I just bought because I'm sure it will sell for more than I bought it for because I got a great bargain.
What is that?
My Age of Renaissance, the one that I found misfiled on Amazon. So everywhere under board games, it's like $250 and there's like multiple people selling. And that's a pretty fair price for it. And then I found one under like... collectible and kitsches like where Hummel figurines are. There was it for like $80. I'm like, boink.
You could say a copy of Amon Ray since we're never going to play that again.
Kick a game shit. Nobody likes Amon Ray. Fuck Amon Ray, says Casey.
I
get that tattooed. Fuck Amon Ray and then Casey Aker 2015.
Just have her sign it and then go get it tattooed on. Yep. No, I found a copy of Warhammer Quest there. Actually, I was able to browbeat them to rerun the auction. So we ran the auction. It ended up being like almost $300. So, and I won it. I'm like, looked at it. And I'm like, there's not everything that they said that it was supposed to be in here. So it said it was going to have all the expansions in it, all the characters in it. Didn't have any of that in there. So I like pointed it out to them. I was like, this is wrong. So they reran it again. I got it, I think, for like $90.
There you go.
But it was like a full copy of the game.
It's not going to have what it has. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
I've always... That's one of the things that I never find time to do is just go to the auction room. Because I think Thursday is when you give them everything. And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they say, you know, between noon and 6 is Warhammer.
Or GW stuff. Or
company stuff. And then I've never, like, gone back at a time where they sold things I cared about.
Yeah, I've gone back on the auction day, yeah. Like, and I've just seen like two or three random things that were like, you know, I'd go in and they were selling apples to apples.
Yeah.
Or the flip side, stuff that I could see would be rare if I cared, but like I don't need to sit in line for an auction for Starship Fleet Captain, like, you know, cool. Or, I'm not an 80-year-old man who played that really complicated shit in the 60s.
You don't want to go up there, and it's kind of cool to see like the Mego transporter thing.
Yeah.
To see that for Star Trek, but, you know, I'm not going to bet on that. It's cool to see, but I don't want it.
But yes, if you have something rare, you should send it.
Yes.
He says out-of-print Runebound 2nd Edition with out-of-print expansions. Yes. You didn't buy that from him? No, I told him to talk to you because board games.
Nick had Runebound. And Runebound actually is a neat game, and Travis is selling, has most of it. If someone is interested in Runebound, they should contact Travis because he has a ton of it. And it's a fun – I just have too many games that are similar. That wouldn't make any sense for me to have it.
That is something that is worth auctioning at Gen Con.
Yes,
an out-of-print game with the expansions, you know, yes.
If you have everything and it's, you know.
And it's out-of-print now. They occasionally reprint things, and then out-of-print stuff goes from having some value to, like, a very small percentage, it'll still have the value, but overall it drops a lot.
Yeah,
there's kind of a weird like dip and climb again that comes with re-releases, because you get that when it's not re-released, it's super expensive. Then it releases, and then the hype gets going, and then they buy it dips down. And then once the second release is kind of over and done with, that it starts to slowly climb back up, but it'll never get back to where it was originally.
It's like my copy of Fortress America is, you know, it used to be made of solid gold, and now it's, you know, I can just buy Fortress America at a game store.
My second edition of Dungeon Quest was insanely valuable up until the reprint.
Yeah,
now it's
and if you're a Magic player, you know all about that kind
of
stuff.
My Dead of Winter, that one was actually going for a lot of money, but now it's out again.
Yeah, so there you go.
I think
we should play that.
Spell Wars, Epic Spell Wars, was like that for a very short period of time. After the first print run, they ran out all over the place. It was really hard to get, but now it's not that
big. Did you buy Bring Out Your Dead yet?
No, not yet.
I was just thinking about that today, because I'm like, man, I should have told Andy yes, I would play that if he bought it, because then I could play it. Instead, we talked you out of it.
No, you didn't talk me out of it.
We told you to wait.
I'm not going to get it.
We gave you an honest answer, which is that it won't get played until October anyway, so you don't need to buy it till October. But on the other hand, I was like, I'd play that.
Yeah.
So we have recommendations?
Yeah, sure.
Should make it quick.
I have a weird kind of lifestyle one, which is use less of your cleaning products. Because you use too goddamn much. Like your toothpaste, you know, in the commercials, they put that big swirly dollop on there. You're supposed to use the size of a pea.
Yeah, that's
like the width of the nozzle, that much out. Like just that little bit is enough to do your mouth.
That's Colgate marketing and not the ADA telling you what
the
you
other
need.
One, you look at your, when you're doing your laundry or when your wife's doing your laundry for you, depending on if she lets you do your laundry. See, I just did my laundry badly enough that my wife doesn't let me do it anymore, which means I don't have to do it anymore, which is great. She's like, separate the whites and the colors. I'm like, we stopped doing that in the 60s. I'm not doing it in this household, so now I don't have to do laundry anymore.
I don't actually change hot to cold. I do everything at the same time. Whatever temperature is set to, I leave it at because I don't know what's supposed to be what, but I do separate. That's as far as I go.
You look in the cap, so you know, you take out the cap, you fill the cap, you dump it in, right?
Mm-hmm. Fill it to a line.
That's the thing. You know, if you look inside that cap, the cap's this big, and there's faint, tiny lines that say 1, 2, 3, 4, and down here at the bottom, like a half an inch up on the inside of the cap is the one. That's where you're supposed to fill it to.
Depends on the type of detergent you get, because there's some that they use the energy saver washers that require you to have only that little.
But the point is, you don't fill the fucking cap. Like, that's way more than you're supposed to be using it. But
depends
they make
on
it
the detergent.
Well, next thing you do, you're going to tell me use a Dollar Saver Club instead of buying razors.
No,
things.
I'm not going that. I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying change what you buy. I'm saying the shit you already have, you are using at least twice, if not four times, as much as you should. Shampoo, you don't need to have lather out to here.
It feels so
technically,
good. Like,
technically, you shouldn't have to shampoo every single day.
Correct.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't
shampoo or change my underwear once a week for both.
One of those might be worse than.
Is it from Saturday to Sunday?
That you change your underwear on the Sabbath? But it's kind of like I've heard that you should, like, every second or third or some number of times that you wash your towels, you shouldn't use soap. You should just wash them with the water because they have so much soap buildup in them from taking soap off of you. And they're so thick that in the rinse cycle of your washing machine, they don't get all the soap out of them. So you should just wash them without soap every once in a while.
Yeah, I wash my hair every other day except for my beard. Because washing with conventional shampoo is going to strip your oils out so hard that your body's going to overproduce, and then you kind of defeat the purpose of washing your hair in the first place.
Some people take even more extreme, and I'm not talking like hippie patchouli, don't wash it all, everything, but there's this whole studies about a thing called the horny layer, which is hilarious, but it's unrelated to, you know, being horny. But your skin is a similar way, and if you use soap over and over and over, it actually strips the skin, and they say you shouldn't even use soap, you know, every time you shower.
Yep.
Like, you should rinse, you know, maybe soap your armpits or, like, you know, the intimate get the bad spots.
I never touch
your torso and your legs. Have your manservant get the bad spots. Yeah, but your torso and your legs, like, you don't need to soap them every time, because then your skin gets all dried out. But I'm not even going that far. I'm just saying, look inside the cap on your laundry detergent and use less toothpaste.
I'm going to recommend using, if for just to throw some painting stuff out there, if you're painting with an airbrush, a nice helpful little trick that makes your minis look a little more visually interesting as far as texture is concerned is using your base coat as pigments instead of paints, because it'll give you a little bit more of a rough texture underneath. And anytime you can differentiate surfaces from one another, because you see, like, you look at a metal surface on your model and it's just this shiny metal slick surface. You look at the armor on your warjack is what I'm kind of referencing, and it'll be this slick surface. But if you use pigments instead for that base coat, you kind of get like this nice undertone that it looks a little bit more visually stimulating than the rest of the model. And I think people don't utilize powdered pigments, or you can take pastel crayons that you can get at Walmart for super cheap and grind them up and get the same effect if you don't want to buy the little like powdered pigments that Secret Weapon is the one that I buy the most. But as my recommendation, just a little bit of painting trick for you.
That's probably amazing advice, but I know nothing about painting.
It's a lifestyle. I enjoy painting so much.
Tomorrow I'll finish gluing my razor boards together.
Boom. Andy, recommendation?
My recommendation is for Rick and Morty.
Yeah, it's a repeat, but worth it.
Yeah. I just, you might have heard me rant about Hulu Plus, or even Hulu in general. Nothing annoys me more than paying a subscription and have to watch commercials. I finally broke down because I could not find Rick and Morty in other means. So I knew that they were available as a season on there. So I broke down, paid my $7.
One of us.
And I'm watching Rick and Morty. My Hulu Plus isn't even turned on. I watch it for free.
What?
I didn't pay $7. I watched my Hulu Plus is turned off. I logged into Hulu and searched Rick and Morty.
No, it's
season one's free.
No, season one is subscribe.
Nope. It's log in. You have to have an account but not pay.
Oh, fuck!
I'm watching season one right now with an account, so I subscribe to Hulu, but I'm not paying. There's also Hulu Plus, so you still got screwed.
But hey, when you thought you paid $7 for Rick and Morty, it was a good $7.
You now can watch The Wrong Mans, and that'll change your life.
You can watch The Wrong Mans.
Everyone should watch The Wrong Mans.
I love that they bring up the grammatical thing in the last episode. Yeah. Somebody finds, like, you mean The Wrong Men? It's just a random throwaway, but it's good times.
Sure. All right, make it quick.
I'm going to recommend Planetside 2 on the PlayStation 4. I've been playing it a fuck ton. Jeremy's been playing it a fuck ton. It's the same. If you play Planetside 2 on the PC, it's the same goddamn thing. It's just on the PlayStation. And it's just, I don't know, it's fun.
I downloaded it.
Yeah, it's free.
I downloaded it as well.
The game itself is free. It's a first-person shooter. And it's like one of the games where you can be infantry, you can control tanks, you can control airplanes, you capture bases. It's all about, you know, area control.
So it's like sci-fi, Call of Duty
kind of thing. Yeah, but it's just...
Or Modern Warfare. Modern Warfare is the one where you can fly planes
Like, you know, yeah, and it's just all about, you know, controlling the map and getting certain benefits, and then you get more experience doing various things, and you level up your character. It's free to play, 100% free to play, but there are reasons why you want to spend money. Every free-to-play
game gets expensive.
Yeah. But it's not... You can't buy your character to be better. You can unlock like basic weapons. You can unlock basic things, but you can't upgrade anything on a skill level without actually playing the game. Because as you play the game, you gain experience. You use those points to get better stuff. You use money for cosmetic changes or to unlock a variety of weapons. But a new weapon doesn't mean it's better. It just means it's different than the other weapon you have. And different play styles, there may be better reasons to do that.
Depending on how things go as well, we might actually do some streaming with that too, with us playing. Yeah. It's probably not going to be very entertaining, as Brian had mentioned. Jeremy and I and Brian had talked about this before. Yeah. Jeremy's a medic, so he's just hanging around the back, just healing people.
I'm an engineer. I'm fixing. I have a wrench.
He's just wrenching things.
Be the engineer.
So it appears that in order to have somebody with some type of action in it,
yeah.
I'm going to have to play. You know,
you'll be the heavy,
the soldier.
I will say, I
usually play support.
You
but
can spend money. Like I spend not money. You can spend your skills on vehicles. I have an upgraded troop transport vehicle. I have maxed its armor, maxed its gun. I have a super insane, like, battle bunker busting, like, transport vehicle that, like, 80% of the stuff I've earned has gone into this vehicle.
Okay, I'll drive that then.
So, well, I can drive it, but no. You can man the guns. I mean, when me and Jeremy get a run around, we just cruise the map, just laying waste of tanks and air. It's so much fun when you can, like, tweak out vehicles.
All right, when I go home,
I spent $20 on cosmetic upgrades to my vehicle over the course of the last month. I got like a new grill. I got tailpipes. I got a horn. I got a cool symbol on the side. It's ridiculous.
How do you play? When do you play Heroes of the Storm?
I'm trying to play Planet Side. Jeremy doesn't log into about 9:30 at night. So from like 9:30 to midnight, I play that. When I get home from work, I've been trying to log into Heroes. I haven't logged into much to Heroes in the last week. I did play a little bit, but so from like I get home to work until about 5 or 6, so about 2 hours of Heroes when I first get home.
Because okay. Raylene's Raylene's working third shift the next 2 weeks, so I will be alone, and I can only masturbate so much, so I need other things to do.
Gotcha.
All right.
Could I throw one more painting recommendation out there?
Very
super quick. Yeah, it's Schnauzerface Miniatures on YouTube account has posted another video painting an extreme juggernaut. He posts them very infrequently, so when he does, it's really awesome. I'm sure he's got people beating down his door to post them, but check it out. If you're stuck on a painting technique or if you want to try and get to a next level, he's a really great entryway to get into those. It's amazing work, so I think I'm good.
SchnauzerFaceMiniatures.org, net.
YouTube something.
YouTube.org, SchnauzerFace.
You're just
it's .com.
Okay.
HomestarRunner.net.
It's .com.
That's probably a good way to end this.
That was my assumption. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.